much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So let's quit jabbering and let's start jamming.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar. And it tastes less fattening because it's European dessert. And then I just like some of the syrup, flan syrup.
If you have food and you have dinner, you have steak and you have a baked potato, and then you have dessert, you have ice cream, and then you put whipped cream on top of the ice cream. The whipped cream is dessert.
Dude, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
I am single. I have no trouble meeting women. I mean, women approach me 6-7 times a day. But I'm very particular about what I like.
And now,
let the romance begin.
Our feature presentation.
6-7 times a day I get approached by women. Women approach me all the time, 6-7 times a day.
Hey,
very picky.
Indeed. All of those sound clips today were by special request from our good friend Kevin of the Kevin and Me Archive, who once a year on his birthday writes in and says, hey, will you play some of my favorite clips? So I'm always happy to put that together. It's the very, very least we can do for a guy who has dedicated far more time to our show over the last 15 years than we have.
That's a good point.
When we have questions about guests or something, we ask him.
Yes.
He's like our resource.
It's a phenomenal effort. I still can't believe, and I still don't understand why he does it. But it's Kevin and Bean Archive. If you ever have any question, or, you know, a lot of times this will happen. Hey, I'm so-and-so was on, and I missed it, and it was a year ago. You know, what do I do? Well, you go to the Kevin and Bean Archive, and you find it, because he puts all that stuff up there. But happy birthday to Kevin, and thanks for all the good work over the years. Speaking of Kevin's, how are you?
I'm here.
Yeah?
Really? That's all you can muster?
I'm here.
Oh.
I don't know, dude.
Sad.
It was a rough
weekend.
What
happened?
It was a rough weekend. I was having stomach issues starting last Wednesday, Thursday? When was it? Wednesday.
Okay.
Missed Thursday. Came in Friday. Totally shouldn't have. Went home Friday with a massive headache. Came in just with a stomach ache. Went home with a headache. So then I went to my doctor, and he said I was dehydrated. So then they took me to the emergency room, gave me an IV, and then said, you got to get some rest. So I went home and slept. And
all right, now stop right there.
Yes.
For years, haven't we made fun of celebrities who are exhausted and dehydrated?
We have, yeah.
Are you now that guy?
No, it's funny.
Were you exhausted and were you dehydrated?
I was both, yeah.
I see.
But here's the thing. I hadn't slept, and it was because of something. We always thought that they checked in just because they were dehydrated. We'd laugh at them and say, why don't you drink? Well, right. I was drinking, but it was coming out faster than I was pouring it in.
Gotcha. Okay.
So there's an actual root cause. So then I missed that, and then there was this super cool Halloween party on Saturday night that I missed.
Mm.
And I just laid in bed and cried for myself because I'm a baby. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday I finally got out of the house once and so now I'm perfectly fine. He lied.
So are you still not feeling well?
Well, only when I eat. I only feel well when I eat.
Wow. You are going to end up having your gallbladder out, aren't you?
Is that what? That's what yours was, wasn't it?
That's exactly what it was. Is you can't eat. Every time you eat, you regret it.
Yes.
It hurts so bad. You hate it, but you can't not eat because you get starving.
So you don't eat for a long time. And you go,
right.
F it. I'm going to eat.
Yes, and then you regret it, and then it's the worst pain ever. Yes,
exactly. It's just terrible. I don't know what that is. And it took them forever to get that diagnosis for you, right, Bean?
It took a series of tests over a number of weeks, yeah. Well, at least that's where you're headed, so you got that to look forward to.
So that's in my near future.
That'll be your Christmas.
So you're a mess.
Yeah, I'm a mess.
You're a mess.
And I don't want to be a mess.
No. No, you had enough problems already before
began.
Can I tell you, I have a huge Kevin and Bean show, but can I tell you something, a sporting event that happened over the weekend that you guys may have missed? I know there's a lot going on, you know, especially now that the World Series is set and, you know, Kevin, you got your soccer and football week 7 and so much stuff happening.
Hockey.
Basketball preseason, hockey. I mean, so many sports. You might have missed the really important story of the. So just briefly, it happened on Saturday during the Kansas City Marathon. A graphic designer professor from the University of Central Missouri named David Babcock was running in the race. While he was running in the race, he did something else.
While he was running in a marathon?
Yes, and he broke a Guinness World Record on Saturday for the thing that he did in addition to running a marathon in a little over 5 hours.
Is it something like something stupid? Over a little over 5 hours is pretty fast.
Yeah.
Is it something stupid like, I don't know, knitting?
Yes, or Kevin.
Needlepoint?
It is knitting.
What?
Oh, yes,
up.
It is knitting.
Shut up.
Are you now reading the stories?
I'm not. No.
Are you suddenly following the news?
No, but I figured you wouldn't bring it up unless it was something stupid.
But
I used to be able to surprise Kevin with stories.
How about that? Now, all of a sudden, I'm a genius.
Maybe that's the trade-off. You're losing your body, but your mind is expanding. He set the Guinness World Record for the longest scarf knitted while running a marathon. Yes, it is a category.
That can't be a category.
The record had previously been held in the Guinness Book by Susie Hewer, who in 2008 in the London Marathon made a scarf measuring 5 feet 2 inches. However, she broke her own record earlier this year in April, again at the London Marathon, by knitting a scarf that was 6 feet 9 inches. Our man in Kansas City shattered that record. His was over 12 inches. Excuse me, over 12 feet. Over 12 feet, his knitting
scarf. That guy
scarf.
Can knit.
That guy can super knit.
That guy's a knitter.
He's 41 years old. He began running and knitting as separate activities about 3 years ago, but because both can grow tedious, he decided to combine them. So he's knitting.
That can't be. Isn't there anyone at the Guinness Book of World Records that goes, that's not an, that isn't an event.
12 feet, here it is, 12 feet, 13 and a quarter inches is how much his, well, that doesn't make sense, 13 and a quarter. Doesn't
no, it doesn't.
It says 12 feet, 13/4. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, over 12 feet.
Maybe it's technical knitting jargon.
Maybe it is. Oh, maybe it's like number of stitches or something like that. Yeah.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
So that's what that guy, like
that's
you don't
not
make
a category. It's like if I ran a marathon with my right arm in the air above my head. You right. Go, well, so what? It's not a category.
No, we're giving you an award.
Doesn't exist.
It is pretty remarkable that you would be able to knit and run at the same time. I mean, that takes a tremendous amount of coordination.
I guess, but doesn't someone go, that's not a thing?
Yes, it's definitely not a thing.
I mean,
there's no question.
To set a record, you have to do a thing. You have to jump longer or higher or faster or do something. You can't knit and run. That's not a thing.
It is interesting that he can run and knit, yet is not dehydrated and exhausted. Yet Kevin, doing a radio show, has all of that happening.
Well, yeah, he wins in that category. God damn it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If you read the Bible a little bit, just crack it. Once in a great while,
right.
You wouldn't ask these goofy questions.
Okay. Andrew Siciliano will be here talking about the NFL weekend.
Okay.
We have Chris Hardwick in studio.
Fantastic.
The Walking Dead and his new TV show on Comedy Central called At Midnight. We have a recap of the singles party. We have tickets for, is it called Kamikaze?
That's right.
Tickets for that today. We're going to play a game for that. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ, as we do on Mondays, to give you the celebrity update. And we have in studio Travis Barker from Blink-182.
Awesome.
Talking about some local shows. So we'll talk to him coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
We can't wait to tell you about the singles party later on today, Kevin, that you missed it. Can't especially the big fight that broke out.
You
see the fight, Ralph?
I missed the fight.
Oh. Sir Mug's body trying to get out of that suit?
No!
Oh, that's funny.
It was a struggle, man. Those buttons were popping, weren't they?
Zing!
Anyway, it's Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54. Ralph joins us for a first look at the Showbiz Bean on a new week. What's going on?
People want Sandra Bullock to be shot into space. That's what I've come to the conclusion of.
Gravity's number one again?
Number one again.
This weekend it made $31 million.
Wow.
That means in 3 weeks it's made just a hair over $171 million at the box office. People hate Sandra Bullock, and they want her shot into space.
I don't think that's the message.
Only conclusion we can all come to.
Hmm.
Captain Phillips was second again this weekend, $17.3 million. Then Carrie in its debut, just a hair under Captain Phillips with $17 million, made it a strong number three. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, two. And then Escape Plan, the new Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone movie, was fifth with $9.8 million.
Get out of here. He's over here.
Is It's a full recap right there.
2 hours of that movie.
That's the kind of movie that really missed Kevin being sick this weekend. I know. Really sad.
Producers were looking at their watches, staring out the window, saying, when is Kevin going to get here? Jeez, he should. It's a matinee. He should be here by now. It's usually when he rolls in to see our bad, loud movies.
Didn't see a lot of movies.
Prisoners was sixth at the box office. Then Enough Said, James Gandolfini's last film. The Fifth Estate. Boy, does no one care about WikiLeaks.
What about that?
$1.7 million in its debut weekend.
Wow.
From a major studio with stars in the film.
And a lot of promotion.
Nobody wants to hear anything about WikiLeaks.
That is shocking, by the way. Especially as hot as Benedict Cumberbatch is. Right?
Yes,
he's a star, right?
Hot.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
and I meant popular.
Super popular.
I read, Ralph, that it's the smallest debut of the year for a wide release movie.
I would believe that at $1.7 million?
$1.7 million, yeah. It's the biggest failure of the year. America just really does not want to be educated in any way about anything. Just give me loud cars turning into robots, please.
They're more like me than you would
think. Thank you. USA! Enough with your political true story about things. Does anyone blow up? Then no thank you. Runner. Ninth, and then Insidious Chapter 2 rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to cute little adorable Danielle Fishel. She got married over the weekend. She's now Mrs. Tim Belusco. Lucky man, that Tim Belusco. Paul and Linda Hogan, however, calling it quits. Crocodile Dundee and his wife.
Aw.
Calling quits after 23 years of wedded bliss. His wife was his co-star in those movies. That's where they met, was on Crocodile Dundee. And I believe he dumped his then-wife and then married the hot blonde in the movie with him. So that's how you get it, man. I don't even know what that means. And congratulations to the Green Arrow, Stephen Amell. His wife had a baby girl last Tuesday. He's a new dad. Her name is Mavi. M-A-V-I.
Mavi?
Mavi. People are just making stuff up now.
Wow.
They're just playing Boggle. And whatever comes up on the letters, they're just saying, all right, that's your name now. Congratulations.
Well, the TV show is named Arrow.
It is, yes.
And yet they called him the Hood the whole first season.
Not anymore, man. You watching?
Yes.
I don't want to be the Hood anymore.
They finally got around to changing his nickname to Arrow.
What are you going
to
be? I don't know. Let me just look at this green arrow I'm holding.
Why were they calling him the Hood?
Because he wore a hood, Bean.
Because he wore a hood.
He wore a hoodie.
That was his disguise.
And some black eye makeup, and then no one could tell who he was.
Green eye makeup.
Whatever.
You watch an episode.
I've watched. I like that show.
Open up a blog.
Just got around to calling him Arrow
after
a season.
Sell your sausage somewhere else. Because it's his origin. You're seeing how he develops. He doesn't kill anymore either. That's new.
Yeah, we'll see how much that holds up.
You learn something, right?
That's not my style.
Which reminds me, you know, we've got tickets to give away for Kamikaze, Stan Lee's Kamikaze, the amazing Comic-Con that happens here in Los Angeles. We're going to give them away later on in the show today. And we'll be having some superhero trivia questions. So if you know your superheroes, stick around.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, don't call right now. We won't get right back to you.
We were discussing that in the office on Friday.
Yeah.
There's no reason for anyone to have ever said that ever.
We've never had anything.
We've never said, call right now and we'll call you back. It wasn't
ever worked like that.
It wasn't a mistake of time. Maybe I was just a little too early.
You're thinking never about done it. Time we did that?
Nope, never, ever.
No,
ever.
It's never happened. Never will happen. Calls will get right back to you.
I don't. I can't.
I can't either. Today's celebrity birthdays. The richest woman in television, Judge Judy Shineland, celebrates her 71st birthday today.
Not interested, sir.
She's still making like $45 million per year.
That show is still in production, Ralph? They're still making them?
It is, sir.
Okay.
Actress Carrie Fisher, she was in a little film called Star Wars. It's Princess Leia.
That's baloney.
57
It doesn't
years
make sense.
Actor Ken Watanabe, 54 years old. Singer and bassist Nick Oliveri from Queens of the Stone Age is 42. Actor Jeremy Miller is 37 years old today. Reality star Kim Kardashian turns 33 years old. You see, she's already Instagramming and tweeting pictures of herself in a bathing suit.
No, I did not.
To prove that she's got her body back.
I'm good with that though.
But I'm like, who's the rush? What? Where was the finish line?
Oh, the rush is for her.
Who was demanding that she had to have her body back after her baby weight immediately? I don't know. There was no clock ticking.
Kim Kardashian is so sexy. Yeah. Her butt is like a big mountain of pudding.
That's true. It is a big mountain of pudding. And Dodgers pitcher Zach Greinke celebrates his 30th birthday today. When they play next, when's the next game?
World Series starts Wednesday. We're really excited to see the Dodgers.
Congratulations to
Muggs. Is just back here hanging himself.
You know, he's like, I need food.
So fire beer mug.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Time to check in with our friend Harvey Levin like we do on Mondays.
What?
Hi, Harvey.
No, he didn't.
Harvey?
Yes.
Hi.
Didn't he or did he?
Did he or did he not?
Say again?
Whatever you were talking about, did he do it or didn't he?
I don't remember what I was talking about.
Just says.
You were talking to somebody else just now.
Well, listen, Harvey, we know you're very busy. We're going to let you get back to it. Do you have a minute for us?
No, there's just a lot of stuff going on today.
All right.
Well, I know that there is. In fact, we were going to talk to you about Conrad Murray, but let's push that down a notch because you just posted
absolutely.
An update on the CeeLo story, which
big
I had not really been following, but to bring us up to speed on it.
Okay, this is a big deal. So I don't know if you remember. This is a long time ago. A year ago in July, a woman claimed that CeeLo, she was with CeeLo at a sushi joint downtown in downtown L.A., and that he spiked her drink with ecstasy. The next thing she knew, she was in his bed naked. She went to the police. There was an investigation, and we thought for a long time that this thing was just done, over. Then we found out about 3 weeks ago.
Now, wait a minute. It was done over, meaning they had looked into it and nothing was going to come of it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so nothing happened. I mean, it was over a year.
Right.
So maybe a month ago, we got wind that this wasn't dead. So it turned out that the DA got the case but sent it back to the police for more investigation. So when the police investigated, they sent it back to the DA at 10 o'clock this morning. We learned that that CeeLo will be officially cleared of any sexual assault charge, but he is going to be charged with felony furnishing of ecstasy, which is a crime, a felony. And
felony furnishing? What is furnishing? Just providing?
Yeah. And here's what I think happened. She has a tape recording of her talking to CeeLo.
Right.
And in that tape recording, CeeLo allegedly confesses that they had taken ecstasy together, but it was ecstasy that he had, providing it to her. And it's actually a crime in California. It's something you guys might want to remember.
How dare you?
It's a felony. How dare me guilty as charged?
Yeah.
So it's a felony to furnish ecstasy to somebody else. And apparently the DA believes that the tape is like a confession, so they're charging him with one count of felony furnishing of ecstasy.
Okay.
That usually gets probation.
How is it usually gets probation?
Usually, first offense.
How is furnishing different than dealing?
I think you're just giving it to somebody as opposed to charging.
To one person, okay.
Right,
now,
right.
That may be a felony to furnish ecstasy, but it's a Supreme Party foul to have it and not share it.
Yeah. No, sorry.
I heard what you said. I agree with that. I think when you sell it, you're just called a bad date.
Okay, good.
Right. Now, Harvey, let me ask the lawyer in you this question. Do you think the DA or the police, whoever, is not pursuing the sexual assault charges because that's just impossible to prove, like, who was into what?
No. And I'll tell you why. This doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He had been dating her. They met Super Bowl weekend 2012, which is, you know, at the beginning of the year. And they dated. And he flew her out to L.A. a bunch of times. So they were already intimate.
Oh, I see.
So why is somebody going to suddenly spike this woman's drink that he's been banging for months?
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So,
but then they went, wait, he did say he had it, right?
That's right.
Is that what happened, basically?
Exactly what happened. Well, that's exactly what happened, that they're viewing that as a confession. And I know that they tested her, and I believe they may have found ecstasy in her system. So, you know, when you connect the dots between the ecstasy in her system and the tape, it's probably enough.
Okay, understood. Now, if we have a minute for Conrad Murray, this is a story that's just getting curiouser and curiouser. How long until Conrad Murray is out of jail?
A week from today.
Okay, and
what?
No kidding.
That's
so how much time has he served for killing Michael Jackson?
Now, guys, okay. look. I mean, I know you want the pound of flesh.
Wait, he's already getting out?
He would have gotten out earlier if it wasn't Michael Jackson because of overcrowding. They probably would have gotten house arrest. I mean, look, Conrad Murray got no favors in jail. He did.
How long has he served for killing Michael Jackson?
Two years. Yeah.
And most of that was during the trial?
No, he wasn't in jail during the trial.
Oh, he wasn't. Okay.
Wow. Isn't that something? All right. So what are his prospects when he gets out? Can he still
practice
medicine?
He wants to practice. Now, his license has been revoked in Texas. They're trying to revoke it in California. He is going to fight it. We are told by we have sources connected with the medical board who are telling us, you know, over their dead body.
Which may happen.
Which might happen, right.
It's got to be Murray, after all.
You also talk about that he's looking for a publicist. And when we were talking about this off-air, Lisa asked a great question, which is, can he profit as a man who's been convicted of a crime for going on TV and being paid for interviews to talk about that crime?
Yes, because usually the law has to do with, you know, premeditated murder where somebody tries to kill somebody. His is not. He did not set out to kill Michael Jackson. He was either negligent or probably, I think the better term is reckless.
So he can profit?
Yeah, he can make money. Yeah, absolutely.
Off of that crime.
How about that? Harvey, you know, TMZ and K-Rock intersected a little bit this weekend when, for the 100th time in a row, our own Nicole Alvarez, who does nights here at K-Rock, got texted by someone in the TMZ newsroom looking for a comment because she's got the same name as his girlfriend.
So we made a mistake, and as soon as you said that, I thought, really? She works at K-Rock?
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, she's our night girl, and she keeps getting texted and called and interviewed, and she's like, that's not me.
Because have the same name, and I guess they keep finding her name keeps coming up whenever you guys start searching for Nicole Alvarez.
Okay, I get it. Oh, God. Okay, now you embarrass me.
Look, I mean, you gotta track
it. It's okay. I'm going to open a can. I'm hanging up, and I'm opening a can of whip-ass.
Yes.
No, we're not trying to do that at
yes,
all.
We
obviously,
are.
you have to follow up on whatever names you find it, you know, listed, but it just turns out that we happen to know one of them. All right, last question on Conrad Murray.
Yeah.
What's this about him singing on the phone to CNN? What's that about?
Well, he did that, you know, he must have done it like 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Was it that long?
Yeah, yeah. He's, look, if you were in a 5x7, you know, at a point, by the way, speaking of being locked up, did you see Homeland last night?
Oh, I did
not. No, not yet. Spoiler alert.
All I'm telling you is it was shocking. It was so good.
I chose Walking Dead. You can't watch
we'll get
them all.
To it.
Do you know Walking Dead last week, I don't know this week, had 16 million viewers?
Yeah. It's insane. It's the biggest show on television.
Show on television.
Right.
And deserves it.
Exactly.
But you got it. Homeland is unreal. Unreal how this thing ends.
We are unplugging the show right now. We're all going to go home and watch it instead of working today. Harvey,
okay,
thanks.
Good.
All right. TMZ.com. Go back to the newsroom. Get the good work done. Please check your local listings for all the great TMZ TV and check out the website at TMZ.com. Thanks, Harvey.
Thanks, guys.
It is always so much fun for us when one of our very favorite people in the world stops by the Kevin and Bean Show, and that's happening 40 minutes from right now. Travis Barker will be here. Travis Barker with a big announcement for Blink-182 fans.
That's
right
so
now,
nice of you guys to call me one of your favorite people.
I thought you were talking about Pat O'Brien.
Me too. No. Great to be here, you guys, Kevin
I'm
and
sorry,
Bean.
I'm sorry, Pat. Just
teaching you guys a little about the NFL this
okay.
weekend, by the
that's
way.
That's fine. You're not one of our favorite people, though, just
a lot
so you
of
know.
Games were played this weekend.
Right.
Football.
Right.
Was played.
Right. A lot of us saw some of it.
Great sport, by the way.
Sure.
You know, I was over there at Paul Rubin's house this weekend watching some NFL.
Why were you at Paul Rubin's house?
Well, Pee Wee and I go way back, of course. I was the one who taught him to go,
is that right?
That was me.
I doubt that.
We'll have to agree to disagree on this one. But one of the most anticipated games of the weekend, of course, the homecoming of Peyton Manning to Indianapolis. Not the result I think Peyton was hoping for. The Colts with a shocker beating the Denver Broncos last night. Did you guys watch that game?
Did not watch.
I saw a lot of it. I mean, the Colts are a very, very good team and tough at home. But
they are, and Andrew Luck sure shined in front of that hometown crowd, and everyone thinks Peyton perhaps was affected by the emotion of the event. Took him off his game a little bit, but still, it was pretty close. Looked like Peyton might be able to bring him back at the end if it hadn't been for a couple of costly turnovers. 39-33 was the final score there. So Denver Broncos no longer unbeaten, now 6-1. The only unbeaten team in the NFL, surprisingly, those Kansas City Chiefs. How about those KC Chiefs? 7-0 right now.
No one saw that coming.
That was 2-14 last season.
Is that true?
New coach, new quarterback with Alex Smith, of course, from San Francisco. And They beat the Houston Texans yesterday to remain undefeated, 7-0. Jude Law was mentioning to me that Andy Reid looks like he's put on a few pounds since he was in Philadelphia.
How did you just work Jude Law into that story?
Well, Jude's a big football player. Big football fan, rather. And he said, yeah, Andy looks like he's getting fatter.
I didn't think that was possible.
Wesley Snipes said that almost happened to him when he was in prison we were talking about because he couldn't exercise as much as he wanted. He was eating a lot of that prison food. That's when Tina Fey suggested he go on her diet. We're all hanging out of my house watching a little football.
Why was that group of people at your house?
Because I have showbiz friends, Kevin. I'm sorry. I've been in this business for 107 years. And I got a lot of friends in show business. I'm sorry if you don't, but I do. We'll have to agree to disagree, by the way. Ask Hartman.
So if we were to source you, it would turn up that you're telling the truth that Wesley Snipes and Tina Fey and Jude Law were all at your house yesterday.
Just ask Patrick Dempsey. He'll tell you. He was there.
Okay. He was there as well?
There's more winless teams than there are unbeaten teams now in the NFL. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers made another team healthy yesterday, letting the Atlanta Falcons beat them. And also the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're pretty hopeless.
Yeah.
They were against San Diego yesterday. They lost to San Diego. But the big news is injuries in the NFL. A couple big-time quarterbacks now in question marks. Sam Bradford from the St. Louis Rams. He may be out for the season. And Jay Cutler from the Bears. Undergoing an MRI today on his groin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh.
That's what Rihanna did to me. She gave me an MRI on my groin the other night.
You don't know Rihanna.
I do. Trying to get her to battle her demons. Trying to get to put some of those demons down. She's got a lot of demons.
Right.
Did I say demons enough?
Yeah.
Tonight, Minnesota Vikings versus the New York Giants. Minnesota Vikings have one more win than the Giants. The Giants winless, 0-6 so far this season.
Is this going to be a crappy game, Pat?
It is. It's going to be two crappy teams, but I think the Giants will finally get their first win of the season. That's what I'm predicting this weekend. What do you guys think? Who cares?
Who cares?
I'm Pat O'Brien.
Thank you, Pat. Let me live that fantasy. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Stan Lee's Kamikaze is coming to the Los Angeles Convention Center November 1st through the 3rd. All right, Ralph, we got it. The song's over. Thank you very much. We're going to give away a pair of passes coming up right after the top of the hour. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, what are we looking for? What kind of comic book geek contestants do you want this time?
We acknowledge our clicking. Acknowledge it.
It's snapping.
Snapping.
Finger snapping, not finger. That's what I meant. Finger clicking.
I was clicking. I don't know what you were doing.
We'll be playing a game. Four tickets to Stan Lee's Comic-Con that will involve your knowledge of superheroes. Both Marvel and DC. We're going to stick to the two big ones, Marvel and DC superheroes. I will be asking you to name a certain kind of hero. I don't want to give it away so people can't just go on the internet and just start stocking up. But it'd be a certain kind of superhero. And I'll give you a secret identity or a clue, and then you have to name the superhero. It's pretty simple.
All right. So if you know superheroes, give us a call, 1-800-520-106, and we'll play right after the top of the hour. Then Travis Barker joins us in studio. Chris Hardwick later on today, and Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up later, too. Right now, they're time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Acknowledge my clicking!
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
It is pretty goddamn impressive. So is also staying number one at the box office for three straight weeks.
It's been a long time since one's dominated like this, hasn't it?
It sure has. Gravity is number one for the third straight weekend, pulling in $31 million. That puts it over $171 million in 3 weeks. Good movie, that Gravity. I really enjoyed it. Captain Phillips was right behind it with $53.3 million. Then Carrie, in its debut, $17.3 million for Captain Phillips. $53.3 million total so far. Carrie, in its debut, made $17 million, puts it just behind Captain Phillips. Good enough to be number three. Cloud with a Chance of Meatballs, two. Fourth, Escape Plan, the new Sylvester Stallone Arnold Schwarzenegger film, was fifth. Prisoners, sixth, Enough Said, seventh. Then The Fifth Estate, in its debut, made just $1.7 million, making it the biggest major studio bomb this year.
That's a surprise. That's a huge story.
Big story. Big star with Benedict Cumberbatch starring as Julian Assange. And people just stayed away in droves. No interest.
Huh.
Runner. Number nine at the box office, then Insidious Chapter 2, rounding out your top 10. Sad news today. Legendary pioneer of Saturday morning cartoons,
Lou Scheimer has passed away.
I don't know who any of those people are.
You may not know Lou's name, but you certainly know his company. He ran Filmation. Animation.
I don't even know what that is.
Did you ever watch a cartoon called Archie?
Yes.
No, but I know
Sabrina
of it.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch? How about a little show called He-Man? Masters of the Universe! I have the power! Castle Grayskull and In This Ring and a Bell, Kevin?
No, I've not seen any of those.
How about Fat Albert and the Cosby
All
Kid?
Right, that I've seen.
Hey, it's Fat Albert!
I don't know his references.
I'm gonna sing a song for you. Bill's gonna tell you a thing or two.
So he did what with all of those cartoons? He was
he
part
did
of
what?
The,
oh, yeah. What did he do? Is that what yeah. you're asking, Bean?
Yeah. What's the connection between all of those
created,
shows? Created,
produced,
made?
Put on television, all of those films. Hello, is this thing on?
I don't know what those are.
Saturday mornings would be nothing without Lou Scheimer. The Groovy Ghoulies. The list goes on and on.
Who gives it damn?
New Adventures of Batman, Tarzan. How about the animated Star Trek series with the original cast? Shatner,
I don't even know what that
Nimoy,
means.
DeForest Kelly.
What's the point of this story?
All Filmation. The point is the guy's a god. An animation god. And you people mock.
Was this in the news?
Yes, it was in the news. CNN.
I don't know. Like, what is that?
Oh, man, Ralph.
I hate you people. No appreciation of what's important in life. Speaking of animation, great story today. Via the Freedom of Information Act, a website called thegovernmentaddict.org, rather, obtained an archive of indecency complaints about the Simpsons TV series.
Really?
To the FCC from 2010 to 2013. When you read the complaints that are being sent to the FCC, you realize how much it must suck to work for the FCC.
When this is in the last 3 years, did
yes,
you say?
Yes, yes. People are still being offended by The Simpsons after 25 years on the air.
Change the channel.
It's A-holes. Fascinating when you read the complaints. And you realize if you're the FCC, you have to weed through all of these idiots.
They have interns or something, right, to go through the...
I'm guessing. Here's one. Let me just read you some of these complaints. I recently watched an episode of The Simpsons entitled The Squirt and the Whale, which involved a beach whale getting blown up by TNT. I thought it was horrible and raw. Please stop showing stuff like that. Thank you. That was sent to the FCC! I watched an episode of The Simpsons where language used was my concern. There was talking about taking a poop. I found this offensive.
What?
Another character talked about having to take a pee. I found this offensive as well.
What?
You need to use better language in the past when language was more pure. That was a sentence written by someone.
Did I write that?
That's true. Another line referenced whipping someone's tush.
Really?
These are complaints to the FCC.
Oh, f*** you.
Wow. I heard the word tush. My head exploded.
Whoa.
Wow.
Language.
Today's celebrity birthdays. TV star Judge Judy is 71 years old today. Judge Judy makes $45 million a year with her television program.
$45 million a year?
You heard me. You heard me.
That's baloney.
It's not baloney.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's not baloney. Princess Leia Carrie Fisher is 57 years old today. Ken Watanabe turns 54. What a great actor he is. Nick Oliveri from Queens of the Stone Age is 42. Porn star Kim Kardashian is 33 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Travis Barker joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or less from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday morning. Hey, Ralph Garman, this Stan Lee's Kamikaze gets bigger every year, right?
Kamikaze!
November 1st through the 3rd at the Los Angeles Convention Center. A lot of great guests.
It's a great con, by the way. If you're looking for a comic book con, you can't get down to San Diego or New York or one of the big ones. Kamikaze is an awesome con. It's right here in our own back door.
By the way,
it's here in our own back door.
It's in my back door.
I'm no comic book geek, but Elvira and Weird Al are both going to be making appearances. I even may have to go to those things.
Stan Lee, Bruce Campbell, an amazing array of comic book artists and writers will also be there. AMC's Comic Book Men cast. My buddies from Comic Book Men are going to be there as well. So it's going to be a great event, and we want to give away some tickets right now. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little game where I will give you a clue, and you just need to name the superhero. The superheroes will all have something in common. All of their names have a color in them.
Okay.
So we call the game Superhero Colors.
Color. Color. Superhero. Color. Yeah. Color. I am a hero walking, superpowers talking. Wear my super suit, these are tights, not stockings. Living life like a hero, cause that's what I do. My outfit's super pimpin', the colors I choose. Black or green, battle Hulk, it just don't matter. We will die to save your life, watch the bad guys scatter. Color. Is there a hero that uses tie-dye? He'd be a really cool guy.
Color. Color.
Superhero.
Color.
Yeah.
Color.
Yeah.
Superhero.
Color.
Yeah.
Color.
Yeah.
Superhero.
Color.
Color.
That's right. So, move over, Eminem. There's a new best white rapper alive. All right. Well done, Omar. Let's go to contestant number one. This is going to be Troy. He's on line one, and he's up first, Ralph.
Troy?
Yep, that's
all
it.
Right, here's your clue, sir. Genius inventor and industrialist Ted Kord is one of many men who have taken on the mantle of this colorful superhero. Ted Kord was one of the guys who was this superhero with a color in his name.
Lord.
Ted Kord.
He's probably from D.C., which I would have
no
idea.
He is. He's a D.C. hero. Mm. I'll give you that much of a clue. Nothing?
I'm going to go with the...
You can't tell us Wade after we bust you.
Green Arrow.
No, sir, I'm sorry. Blue Beetle. The Blue Beetle is what we were looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, sorry, Troy, that was impossible.
But
let's be honest.
It was not impossible.
Come on, Ralph.
Blue Beetle, big star.
Blue Beetle, not a big star.
The Blue Beetle, a big star.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Know,
let's try Joe up next on line two. He's the next contestant for the Colors of Superheroes or Superhero Colors or whatever we're calling it.
Colors. Superhero.
Superhero Colors.
Okay. Got it.
Good morning.
Did you come correct?
Good morning, Joe.
Joe.
Yes, what's up, Ralph? Let's do this.
All right. This superhero actually married one of her fellow Avengers, the Vision.
The Vision.
You want the female or you want Vision?
He just gave you
I
Vision.
I gave you the Vision. This is the clue for the name of the superhero that has color in her name.
Oh,
Typing Google.
Red Scarlet.
I'm sorry.
I said the Red Scarlet.
I know, but it's Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch is the name.
Oh, sorry, Joe.
Sorry.
He was adamant.
Yeah. There's a lot of Googling going on during this game.
Because
this,
these are impossible
they're
questions.
Not impossible.
Oh,
these are big stars.
The Blue Beetle.
All right,
Blue
they're not
Beetle,
impossible. They're
Justice
not impossible.
League. Justice League member, by the way.
How
Blue
many
Beetle.
Have we given away, Ralph?
We have given away none.
Okay.
We have five pairs to give away.
All right, let's try something called Layola on line three.
Layola?
Yes.
Layola, are you a superhero fan?
I am.
All right, here you go. This colorful superhero has a supersonic scream and is sometimes the girlfriend of Green Arrow.
Sometimes the girlfriend.
I have no idea.
The Black Canary. Black Canary is what we're looking for.
Yeah, no one knows that. Thank you.
Everyone knows Black Canary.
Clearly, not everyone knows these. You're 0 for 3.
Does the Black Canary know the Blue Beetle?
Yes! We're in the Justice League together.
Do we get down to some easier ones where people
these
can win?
These are all easy.
Why don't you want people to win?
These are easy.
Obviously.
Matthew, hi.
Hey, it seems like my odds are not that great right
That's
now.
That's correct.
Well, because don't Matthew, call in if you don't know who superheroes are.
have you known any of the ones you've heard while you've been listening on hold, Matthew?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Really?
All right.
Why did you bother calling to go to a comic
because
book convention?
I know superheroes.
No, you don't.
Friends of superheroes.
You don't know superheroes.
Yes. But Ralph, there's a difference between superheroes and what you're doing. Look, if we were doing presidential trivia and all of my questions were about Franklin Pierce, it would be the equivalent. It's hard.
It's not hard. If you know superheroes, these are not hard.
All right, let's find out. Give Matthew a question and he'll nail
all
it.
Right.
This superhero begins his oath with the words, in brightest day.
Oh, sorry.
In brightest day is the oath used by this colorful superhero.
I'm going to take a shot at Green Lantern.
Yay! Yay! We got one!
Somebody knew one! Matthew is going to be the only person at this con!
Can we give them all five?
Population one at Kamikaze.
Guys, foolish.
All right, way to go, Matthew. Well done. Who's our next contestant, Kevin?
Andrew, good morning.
Good morning.
Millionaire industrialist Oliver Queen is this colorful superhero.
Green Arrow.
There you go.
Yeah, now we're getting into some people have heard.
Yeah, now just spoon feed everybody.
We have two winners. Let's go to Craig. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, Craig. This superhero was the former herald for the supervillain Galactus.
Oh, Silver Surfer.
Silver Surfer, that's right. Suck it. Kevin's laughing like nobody would ever get that. Huge star, Silver Surfer, by the way. Huge.
That's three in a row, guys. Let's keep going.
All right.
Let's go to Ruben. Hi, Ruben.
Oh, come on, Ralph. I knew all the other ones.
You knew all of them?
Yep.
All right. Here
Very
we go.
Good man. This female spy worked for both S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers.
Black Widow.
That's right, sir.
Nicely
well done. How many we got now to give away?
We have one more pair left.
One more pair left.
And we have Danny on the phone. Hi, Danny.
How's it going?
Good.
Danny, I'm going to give you your choice. I think I can give you like a medium difficult or a super difficult. What level superhero are you looking for?
Most impossible game in the world. Every color I know has been taken pretty much, so let's see.
Let's go with medium.
Medium. Yeah. All right. This superhero... who was friends with the Blue Beetle, by the way.
Come on! The Blue Beetle has no friends.
Actually came from the 25th century to become a superhero in our time period.
Sorry, Danny.
The Green Snail.
The Green Snail.
Booster Gold, come on.
Booster Gold.
Everybody knows Booster Gold.
Well, clearly everybody doesn't.
Obviously.
Booster Gold.
Come on, Ralph, why do you hate your people?
I know these are easy.
Why are you making up
superheroes, Ralph?
These are easy.
Do you have one more?
I have one more.
All right, we have one more pair. Let's try Daniel. Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
Daniel, this is perfect for you. Daniel works in pest control.
Okay.
Okay.
There's a clue.
Hank Pym, who was Ant-Man, also took on the guise of this colorful superhero.
Oh, man, I used to know this. Ant-Man.
He was once Ant-Man. He was also a couple other superheroes, including this colorful superhero. And it's insect based, so you should have a leg up.
Color and insect.
Dang, I don't know.
Yellow Jacket. Yellow All Jacket.
Right. Oh, Yellow Jacket.
Yellow Jacket.
Never heard of that.
He was Avenger.
I've never heard of that.
You don't know any of them. Why are we filtering this through you?
Let's leave it there, shall we?
No!
Ralph doesn't want you to go to Kamikaze.
No, more!
That's what we've learned.
Put Andrew on.
Andrew already won.
Who else do we have?
We're not going to give him an extra pair of tickets.
Done, Ralph.
Give me one more. I want to give away.
You clearly don't.
I will give away one more.
All right, let's try. We'll try.
Give me anybody. Anybody.
K-Rock, hello.
Hi, this is Amanda for the comic contest.
Yes. Hi, Amanda.
Okay. Hi, Amanda. Do you know superheroes?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Do you have Google handy?
Shut up, Kevin. All right, Amanda, you're representing not only all of us geeks, but you're a girl, too, so it's very important that you get this.
Okay.
All right. This android superhero who was in the Justice League of America has the power to whip up mighty winds.
That would be Red Tornado.
Woo!
Look at her.
Yeah!
Wow.
Amanda's my girl.
Wow. You are lucky, Ralph. You are so lucky.
Hold on, Amanda. We're going to give you those tickets. Okay, stay on the line.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll come up with a contest people can win tomorrow.
Come on, superhero colors.
Colors. Superhero colors. Colors.
Yeah, my girlfriend.
In the summer,
fell in love with a girl.
guess what we're saying is here at K-Rock, we enjoy our Blink-182. I think that's the
message. That is the message. Yeah.
That we're giving you here today. And we certainly enjoy our friend Travis Barker, who joins us in here, the drummer for that band and the Transplants and about a million other things. He's one of the busiest guys in showbiz. How are you, Travis?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
It's always great to see you. I just can't believe how much you have going on. You're one of those guys, and I know you always talk about how you never stop drumming, like you can't ever stop your fingers from moving, but it seems like you can't rest either.
I don't like rest, man.
It's overrated.
Man.
You just get so bored if you sit down for 5 minutes. You drive yourself crazy, it seems like.
Yeah, it's funny. Even like, you know, there was a big UFC card this weekend, and I just sit there in front of the TV with the practice pad.
Really?
But yeah, man, I get hyped off of it. And, you know, I guess when I've played my instrument for this long, I just want to keep taking it to the next level.
Aren't you glad you stuck with the drums and not the trumpet?
Yes. Yes.
I saw you tweeting on Saturday night. Was that one of the greatest nights of fights you've ever seen in your life?
Honestly, that was probably the best UFC card I've seen.
The Melendez fight.
Oh, fight of the year, right?
Was Joe Rogan even said, this is my new favorite fight of all time.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times two guys won't want to go toe-to-toe like that for the fear of getting knocked out, and they both went for blood. They gave it their all.
And neither of them was interested in defense. They're just like, go ahead and hit me as hard as you can, and I'll hit you back as hard as I can, and we'll just see who's standing.
Yeah, that was a brawl.
It was crazy.
That was a brawl.
And I wasn't drumming while I was watching that.
My drumming got faster and faster as the fights continued. It was crazy.
I just can't even imagine being able to survive one round of that. How do they do it for five? Like, where does that come from that you stand up and go back in there for round four and five?
Yeah, it's hard, man. You know, like, we sponsor Dominic Cruz, who's bantamweight champion, 135. And sometimes, you know, he'll invite me to the gym, and you know, I've done 3 5-minute rounds, and it was the hardest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
You think, all right, 5 minutes at a time, no problem, and then you get about a minute and a half in and you go, this has to be over.
Yeah, anytime you're at home and you're going, do something, there's a reason they're not doing anything. Like, that's one of the hardest, that's the hardest thing ever. Like, a fight for 5 minutes is seriously, it's grueling.
Did you care who won between Cain Velasquez and...
I was hoping for Cain, man. He's my favorite or whatever. All my picks won. You know, Daniel Cormier won. That was my pick for the Roy Nelson Cormier fight.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a good.
Although
night
Roy Nelson has the best boobs of anyone on that card.
Roy Nelson is a beast, man.
He's a beast.
We won't see anyone knock him out.
hey, Travis, what do you do exercise wise to stay in the kind of shape you need to perform?
I run a lot. Yeah, I run about 4 or 5 times a week.
How far?
About 5 to 6 miles, whatever,
wow.
An hour and a half. Sometimes I work with a strength and conditioning coach who's Ronda Rousey's strength and conditioning coach. His name's Chris.
Is that before you go on tour? Do you have to be in a different shape to go on tour?
Yeah, I really build it up before I go on tour because we have 2-hour sets and I like to go 110% for 2 hours.
You drum rather quickly. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll do that. I do Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Do you really?
On Wednesdays. Yeah. I love doing that. I do it with my kids.
Are you teaching your kids to beat you up? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, just to defend themselves. You know what I mean? Know what's up. And I love all the discipline and respect that comes with martial arts as well.
By the way, I think you tweeted a photo of your son. He's 2 now, right? Do I have it right? He's 2?
No, he's 10 now.
What was the photo that you just tweeted the other day of a 2-year-old kid in a little punk rock leather jacket with a Transplants t-shirt on?
Yeah, no, that was Landon. He just looks really young still. Okay. Yeah. They both love punk rock. Like, they both have gone on.
Well, they have to.
Numerous
All I
tours
thought
with
when
me.
I saw that photo is he's going to be 1 minute into 18 when he gets his first tattoo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They bug me for him already.
Do they?
Yeah. Like,
what's your answer?
I tell him when he's 16, we'll have that conversation. And I got to talk his mom into it, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So. And the day he turns 16, you know that's going to happen, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, they love daddy.
Sure.
They want to be like daddy, so they see daddy. And by the way, daddy's not slowing down on the tattoos either.
Yeah,
daddy's been busy.
Yeah, I've finished my head. I almost finished with my back.
How many people say I've finished my head?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever heard
just,
that sentence.
Just Lisa.
It's the true commitment, you know?
That is the true commitment. That's true. So we always have so much to talk to you about, Travis, when you come in. We're always very excited to see you. But today you're actually here with some special news, with an awesome thing for Blink-182 fans, right? A chance to see you guys in a tiny little place.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time. You know that it's been 10 years since the self-titled album, which
is crazy.
I think to all
Which was
us,
yesterday.
Our best piece of work. So it's really cool, man, to play that entire album from front to back, which we've never done either. You know, even when that album came out, there were songs we didn't play.
So, are there songs that you've never played live?
Yeah, I mean, we've rarely played Lost Without You. We only played the Robert Smith track in Europe when we were on our Europe run when Robert Smith was singing with us.
So right.
It's going to be pretty cool.
Do you need Kevin to play the part of Robert Smith when you do it at the Palladium?
That would be awesome.
You haven't heard me sing.
So it's the 10th anniversary of the Untitled album, which we all just call Blink-182. You've got two shows, and they are Wednesday, November 6th and Thursday, November 7th. They are going to be at the Hollywood Palladium. Tickets are on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. through Ticketmaster.com. And you also, if you go to Blink182.com, you can also find out about VIP packages that are available, too, that has all sorts of merchandise, a chance to meet the band, and a whole bunch more.
You can fight Travis.
But this is the type of thing you do. Why? Like, obviously, you guys could, you know, make a lot more money for as much work playing at a bigger place. Why is it important for you to play the Palladium shows?
This is for the fans, you know? It's something special, you know? It's like the 10-year anniversary, the 10-year mark of this album. And, you know, we just did a run. You know, we just played, you know, really close by here, San Diego, Santa Barbara, Vegas, but this is solely, purely just for our fans and to give them something. It's like, you know, a way of giving back, you know, and really celebrating an album that I think was like a turning point for our career.
For everyone.
You did that charity show in New York City recently, and you played for 500 people.
Yeah.
In Williamsburg, I think. What's that like for you? Like, what difference does it make for you when you're on stage and you look up and you can actually see the back wall?
That show was bananas. I mean, I think we hadn't played a venue that size for almost 20 years.
Wow.
18 years. And you could, you know, there's video of it where you hear the crowd over all our amps, over all our drums. You can't even hear Mark and Tom.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a perfect world?
It's pretty cool, yeah. It was definitely, you know, I had a couple friends that had flown out for that worked at Famous, and they were just tripping, you know.
You've seen so much, but when you get an audience like that, it must still be a little shocking that they're out singing you.
I like those hectic shows, you know. Yeah. I love, and it's awesome, and I appreciate playing a big arena or whatever. The intimacy of a small venue where you get to feed off the crowd, and that's just way better. I like when a person in the front row can spit on me. You know, we're in that distance.
That's the difference
of each other,
between you and I.
Yeah. there was an energy in that club that I don't think Blink or any of us have felt in a while. Well, for me, in since the last transplant show, but.
Well, you're going to have some of that same energy November 6th and 7th coming up at the Hollywood Palladium. Just announcing these two shows with Blink-182. Again, tickets go on sale Friday morning at 10 o'clock at Ticketmaster.com. More with our guest Travis Barker when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 8 o'clock. And there probably wouldn't be a Kevin and Bean Show without Blink-182.
Pretty safe to say. Why the hell not? They're one of our all-time favorite bands, and one of our all-time favorite people is Travis Barker. He is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Just announced two upcoming Blink-182 shows celebrating the 10th anniversary of their untitled album, which we call Blink-182. They're going to be doing that on Wednesday, November 6th and Thursday, November 7th at the Hollywood Palladium. Tickets are going on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster. A chance to see a huge band in a tiny place. Hey, Travis, do you mind taking one call?
Yeah, no problem.
Mark?
Hello.
What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Mark Hoppus is on the phone.
What's up, Mark?
We have Travis in the studio.
Hi, everybody. Hey, how about the singer of that last song you guys played? Wow, he's great.
He has a great voice.
He is the best. So, Mark, what's going on, man?
I'm hanging out in London, and it's raining, and I'm looking forward to being in Southern California for some nice weather.
Yeah, it's going to be sunny and 70.
Are you living in the UK now?
I do. This is my third year of living in the UK.
What's up with that? How did that happen?
I started liking tea, and I figured that this is the best place to come if you like tea.
It's a pretty big move for tea.
It is, because we actually have it here. Travis, what did you think when Mark broke the news that he was moving overseas?
Well, you know, when I'm in London, I love it too.
But you do?
Now, yeah, I do. I actually, not. I don't know if I love it enough to make the move like Mark did. Mark's a true he's gangster. He got up and left one day and moved to London out of nowhere. So, you know, I definitely support him. It sucks. I have to wait till around this hour to call him, and he's going to sleep.
Right.
And we hop on the phone, or it's the opposite. I'm you know, it's 3 a.m. and I'm calling him. He's just waking up, but I still get to chop it up with him quite a bit.
Mark, is it tough for you to conduct band business when the three of you guys have to, you know, have to have a meeting or get on something?
Yeah, but you know, I moved over here, so I'm kind of the one that's far away. So it's kind of on me to go back to California. That's where we do all of our stuff, is in Southern California. So when we have to do stuff, I go back home.
Does a restraining order come into play here at any point?
Not much.
Okay.
No.
All right.
well, Travis was telling us that the 10th anniversary of the Blink-182, the Untitled album, you know, is an album that he said was a big change for you guys, and you all kind of hold it up as maybe even your best work. What are your thoughts on that as you look back 10 years later?
I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of that record. I'm proud of the work that all of us put into it. It was really a definite change in our attitude as a band, as the way that we thought of ourselves, the way that we thought of our band and our music, and we really wanted to do something different and break out of just not a mold, but just do something different and make a big statement. And we always kept saying, like, we strive for this to be like our Pet Sounds or our White Album, where, you know, bands that were thought of in one way break out and do something different, and that's what we were really trying to work towards. And I'm really proud of the album that we came up with.
And you're going to play it from start to finish.
Yes, indeed. I've been practicing it.
You have? Well, that's good to know. How much do you have to practice, seriously? Because Travis was talking about practicing playing the drums over the weekend. What's up with you guys?
Yeah, well, we don't have a lot of – we have like 4 or 5 days, I think, of actual band rehearsal time. And for me, not having played some of those songs ever live, I want to have my chops up before we even walk into the rehearsal space.
Sure.
So I've just been doing it here in London, basically – playing it the way that I learned how to play bass, which is just playing, listening to the record.
Right. You're listening to your own record, trying to figure out what you did?
Yeah, there actually is a lot of that. And sadly enough, there's been times when I've had to go on Google and try and figure out the lyrics of songs that I wrote myself.
Really?
Oh, my God. That's funny. Hey, Travis, have you ever forgotten, especially with as many bands as you play and as many songs that you guest on, have you ever forgotten a drum part when you've actually been in the moment?
No, sometimes, though, like, even, you know, when Blink goes back out, if I've been in Transplants World or playing whatever with Yellow Wolf, I'll go in and I'll be like, damn, I played that. Or, you know, like, okay, that's
Do you do
that's
the same thing where you listen to the album and...
Definitely have to refresh my memory, you know, just to remember all the parts, especially if it's songs I haven't played. But I think it's just, it's by habit, man. It's like, it's almost like training for a fight. The more you train, you know the fight's going to be good. Like, for me, I play like an hour or two a day. So I just... You want that level of confidence when you step out on stage.
But I think of you as a guy, and same with Mark, as a guy who doesn't need to practice 2 hours a day because you've practiced so much. To that point?
You never – there's always room to get better. That's how I always see it. Like, you can always – there's always room to get better at your instrument.
Not you, Travis, but Mark especially.
Right? That's the good thing for me. See, Travis got so good at his instrument early that it's difficult for him to progress now because he's so far ahead of everyone else.
Me,
I have a lot of improvement to do, and it's easy to get better than where I am.
You are playing at the level of a second-year bass player right now, though, Mark, which is great, which is a big improvement for you.
The great thing is, and people come up to us all the time, and they'll be like, oh, you know what? My son started playing guitar just like a year ago, and he knows all your guys' songs.
Travis Barker's in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Mark Hoppus on the phone talking about Blink-182 playing the Palladium on November 6th and 7th, which is only, by the way, about 2 weeks away. Since you guys are all going to be together in California at the same time, is that when a conversation maybe about new music might happen?
Well, we've already been talking about new music for a while. I mean, we're all intent on going into the new year with writing new music. That was something that we did on the month of dates that we just did in the States and Canada, was solidify that that's our timeline, and we want to have new music out in 2014.
Is that daunting, having written so much already, to think we got to come up with a whole new album? Or is it exciting? What's the main feeling that you have?
It's exciting, but it's also daunting. The way that I write songs and the way that I think of things is, I wake up every day convinced that I'll never, ever, ever write another good song. So the thought of recording a whole new album is daunting, but it's that kind of pressure that I need to make music in the first place.
How many years has it been since you guys played the Palladium the last time?
Probably, what, like 10 years, Travis? No, we played the...
We played the Palladium not too long ago, didn't we? Like 5 years ago, maybe, Trev?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we did. We did. It was us, Mickey Avalon, and the Aquabats.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Right.
Wow. What a memory you have.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a very special couple of shows there. Again, Wednesday, November 6th and Thursday, November 7th at the Hollywood Palladium. Tickets are going on sale this Friday, 10 o'clock, Ticketmaster.com. There's also going to be a VIP package is available. Go to Blink182.com. And did I also read something over the weekend, Mark, about you guys are starting up some sort of fan club or a new fan club that's happening next year as well?
Yeah, we're building out. I mean, we are so lazy that up until recently, maybe even today, I haven't checked, we still had, as our website, a Christmas package that you could buy from last Christmas. So it's about time that we got an actual website together that was working, and you know, with the new album coming out and with new tours and new plans coming out in 2014, we need to... I guess the Internet's kind of starting to happen now, so we're going to jump on board this new fad.
You think it's going to last?
Just catch it on. Just now. You're not too late, buddy. You're not too late.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Travis, anything before we let Mark go and say goodbye here?
No, it was awesome hearing my buddy Mark's voice for a couple of seconds in the early hours of this this morning.
Thanks
for
calling, Mark.
Early, Travis. What's up with that?
He's in here.
I know. I got to take the humans to school anyway, so I'm up right now, you know?
He's probably already guest drummed on 10 albums before he came in here today.
Thanks for calling, Mark. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Travis,
we'll be there.
I know we're running late on time, but I want to talk about your remix real quick.
Yeah, it's actually my friend Scoop DeVille.
Okay.
Who's an amazing hip-hop producer and just producer in general, but he's got like this cool mixtape coming out called Scoopy Loops. And one of the tracks is an R.E.M. acapella that I played drums on for him. And it's going to be available, I think, November 12th on FamousStarsAndStraps.com. We're going to, you know, make his whole mixtape available on there. But this is one of the feature tracks on the mixtape, and it jams. I grew up on this song, and to hear this rendition of it is pretty...
Every whisper, every whisper.
That's pretty cool. You couldn't play the drums slow if you wanted, could you?
Yeah, it's double timed. It's pretty cool to hear it in that sense.
Yeah, that sounds so cool.
Of course. Travis, you're the best, man. We love you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh man, it's great to see you guys. It's great to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:54.
Great news, you guys.
Yes.
Chris Hardwick finally got a TV show.
Oh,
finally,
good.
Somebody's putting that dude on TV.
Poor bastard's been out of work forever.
He's on every other show on television. Right. He's going to be joining us in studio here on the Kevin Abid Show right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday.
By the way, a torrent.
Torrent. Of support for your stupid game?
Emails.
BS.
Love for Blue Beetle?
I'm calling BS. From real comic book fans saying those were so easy.
Yeah.
Then why didn't they call?
And most importantly, F Kevin for mocking. Which was the response a lot of people gave.
You were making up superheroes
so
in that game.
Easy.
And then
so
wondering
easy.
Why people didn't know them.
We got one winner per 14 contestants.
So easy. And
we got to do it again tomorrow.
The real comic book superhero fans couldn't get through on lines. That was the problem.
Oh, that was
But everyone who knows it, like, I got all of them. Slam dunk. I was like, yes, that was the easiest.
I could say that after the game, too, ever. Ralph, but it doesn't mean I would have.
Listen, you don't know any superheroes, so
that's
you're not
correct.
The person to judge whether it was a good superhero game or not.
Well, how about the first four people that got it wrong?
They didn't know. Anyone who doesn't know who the Blue Beetle is a fool.
Well, then I'm a fool.
That should be the name of your autobiography.
Characters in DC folklore.
Game.
When Maxwell Lord killed the Blue Beetle, everything changed.
It sure did. Man, that
I've never
world
been the same. I know that.
Fell apart.
You don't know, man.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
That's right. All right, let's get on with the showbiz news. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Gravity, still holding on to that number one position. Another week at the top, $31 million. So far, it's made $171 million in 3 weeks.
All right. I guess that's good.
I'm thinking there's going to have to be a Oscar nomination for Sandra Bullock, too.
What do you think about the next one, though, a number two? Like, is that possible with this story? Can't be.
Sure.
She going to go back up? No way. There's just no way.
You don't know, man.
Yeah, I do know.
No, you don't.
I saw it.
Sell your sausage somewhere else.
She did not have a good time.
I saw it too, and she changed. She became a changed woman because of that experience.
She's not going back up.
You don't know, man.
I know.
There are a lot of astronauts who have gone on multiple missions, Kevin.
Yeah, but did that happen to them?
No.
Okay, then.
That hasn't happened to anyone.
Captain Phillips was number two at the box office. Made $17.3 million. Just behind that was the debut of Carrie, the new horror film starring Chloe Grace Moretz. $17 million, made it number three. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, two. Then Escape Plan was sort of a dud at the box office in its debut weekend. The Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger film, $9.8 million. Here's my take. Here's my take on this.
Okay.
Now that The Expendables is a thing, Schwarzenegger and Stallone can no longer do any serious action films.
Because that's sort of cartoonish?
Because their personas now have become parody, are now spoof. And you can put them in spoofs, like Expendables, which is a tongue-in-cheek look back at 80s action films, but you can't take them seriously now in any action.
Well, you're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's just bad manners.
I'm just saying, so that is bad manners. That's the case. Have you seen the trailer for this boxing movie with De Niro?
Yes, I have. Boy, wow. Does that look bad.
Wow.
We're both 80. We're going to fight one day.
Ring one last time. No, you're not.
I can just about walk. I can't hold anymore.
No one's doing
that. I can't
that.
See too far. No, I can't hear too
You can't hit anybody and you can't get in a ring.
That's happening.
But we're going to train real hard and then we're in the ring. We say, I like you.
First of all, again, Sylvester Stallone, you can't play any other boxers.
Yeah.
You can't do any of the boxing movies.
You're Rocky, and you've
done
a lot
of those.
You're Rocky,
and we can't see you in another boxing movie where you're playing Razor's Edge or whatever the character's name is and say, oh, well, that's a different guy. No, you will become Rocky the minute you put on boxing gloves. And Robert De Niro, what are you doing? What are you freaking doing? Stop it. What happened to him? You know what happened to him? The Fockers.
He was good in the Fockers.
The fucking Fockers. Changed his career forever. Now he's like, ooh, wacky guy. I'm going to do wacky movies. Stop it.
Is he also in that horrible Las Vegas movie that they're advertising now with Morgan Freeman?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Yeah, is he in that too?
Actually, it looks pretty fun.
Come on.
Take it easy.
That's a paycheck, period.
It does look fun.
It looks horrible.
Why does
horrible.
It look horrible?
Because it just looks like a bunch of old guys who are embarrassed to be in such a terrible movie.
No, it
who
doesn't
else is,
at all.
Who
looks
else
like
is in that
four
cast?
Old guys.
Michael
who are
Douglas.
Looking forward to partying in Vegas one last go round.
At least it makes sense. You're admitting they're old. You're admitting they.
Right. It's Hangover for old guys.
Right.
Which
it looks
is funny.
Dreadful.
Oh, stop! It doesn't look dreadful.
But
it looks fun.
See,
you got Morgan Freeman, Kevin Klein,
Ralph,
Michael Douglas, and De Niro having a good time in Vegas. How is that a?
Kevin movie. This is not a
no,
Ralph movie.
No, it's not a Kevin movie at all.
It's not a Bean movie. We know that.
Well,
for a
of
fact,
course, because it
fun.
Looks like it's fun.
Right.
Yeah, Bean's it's anathema to Bean, but this looks just like a fun movie.
Lisa, your thoughts on Las Vegas?
I think it might be fun.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay. Thank you. At least human beings have a point of view on this show.
I don't care for it.
Well, because you're dead inside. And you've never gone to Vegas with a bunch of guys and had a blowout and had a blast.
That's true.
And I love those guys. That's
I
a
love
great
those guys.
Cast.
They're charming as hell.
Yep.
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
Fine,
I
thank
just
you.
Wish
you
they'd use
that
time to make a good movie instead of this one.
I wish you would take your time and take it swallowing rat poison. Use your time doing that.
Wasn't very smooth, but I like how it ended.
Thank you.
Why don't you turn your head down?
That looks so much fun.
But we can all agree that the Sylvester Stallone boxing movie is duds, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It's over. Nothing is over.
Oh, it's over.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's over.
You just don't turn it off.
Yeah, I do. I turn it off. See that trailer? I turn my TV off. Oh, and his character, really, his name is like Edgy Razor.
I think you were right. Razor's Edge or some BS.
Something like Razor Sharp. Or that's nick. His last name is Sharp. Maybe his nickname is Razor or something. It's just.
And they get together to film for a video game.
Right.
And then they get mad in real life.
Because everybody loves 70-year-old boxers in video games. And they're wearing the motion control suits and they get in a real fight. And somehow that tape gets leaked to YouTube. And everyone demands them to get back together again in the ring. Stop it!
Which is, by the way, the exact same plot as the last Rocky movie.
That is pretty
funny. Remember?
Flimsy.
They have a That's video. Right. They have a computer-generated battle between Rocky and Mason Dixon. And then that's why they have to get back in the ring.
Yeah. That's a terrible idea.
That being said, Las Vegas looks fun.
Please enjoy.
Prisoners was sixth. Enough Said was seventh. The Fifth Estate, biggest bomb of the year so far, $1.7 million in its debut weekend, was eighth. Runner Runner and Insidious rounding out chapter two, rounding out the top ten. I'm out of time already because Bean is bad.
Bean is bad.
Because Bean makes me fight the good fight.
That's right. I'm not the one who went
fight 20 minutes
on bad movies.
It doesn't look better. That Las Vegas.
You did say Las Vegas.
Whatever it is, whatever it's called, it's not worthy of learning the title.
What a dick.
It's going to be bad. I'm telling you right now. Mark this tape. It's going to be terrible.
Mark the tape, Muggs.
It's not worthy
I have
of
this
learning
when it comes
this
out.
Title.
I have it when it comes out. It makes $40
million. Today's celebrity birthdays. Porn star Kim Kardashian is 55 years old today. Nick Oliveri of Queens of the Stone Age is 42. Ken Watanabe is 54 years old today. Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, soon to be again in the next Star Wars film, 57. And TV star Judge Judy Shineland, Judge Judy, 71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock.
Here we go again.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 8.
Our friend Chris Hardwick will be here in about 10 minutes or so talking about his brand new Comedy Central show debuting tonight.
He would have been here earlier, but he's actually shooting a TV show in his car while he's driving right? to the station. Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. If he does record his podcast sometimes while he's driving in between TV shows. That's the truth.
What?
He really is. Records it in traffic while he's driving. Yes, I'm not lying about that. So he's a busy man. Anyway, hey, we want to take some calls right now. If you were at the Kevin and Bean singles party, the Scary Carrie prom on the Queen Mary, if you were there Friday night, we would like you to give us a call and tell us how you did, how it went. What'd you think? 1-800-520.
What do you want them to answer? That's a lot of questions right there.
Any of the above.
How'd you do? What'd you think? How'd you go?
Did you get some numbers? Were they false?
What'd you drink? What'd you have? When'd you get there? When'd you leave?
I'd like to share with our audience that wasn't able to be there and with the monkey who is now a celebrity and was exhausted and dehydrated, so wasn't able to join us on Friday. I'd just like to share the experience of what the party was like for folks who weren't there.
Ah.
So I thought, whatever you have to add to that conversation, if you were at the singles party, please give us a call at 1-800-520-1067.
Especially if you hooked up.
Absolutely.
Seriously. Yeah, we'd love to hear success stories of our listeners meeting other listeners.
Failure is funny, too, but also success.
And what a good batch of people were there.
I think so, too.
What a great crowd. Yeah. Everybody was so nice and fun and a lot of beautiful women, by the way.
Was there
a lot of beautiful women?
Was there any, what we hate, where the guy or girl goes, oh, there's no one good here?
I did run across that a little bit.
A little bit.
It was funny. I was talking
And those
to,
are the people that are never going to meet anyone anyway.
I was talking to two guys, very attractive gentlemen, who were like, there's nothing here. I was like, are you kidding me? There's a good batch of women out there. Most of them were dancing with other women in the beginning of the evening, especially. The guys were not stepping up. I said, if I was single, I would be tearing through this party right now. And the guy was like, I don't know. I'm a little picky, whatever. And I said, what about you? And he brought his buddies like, well, I'm gay. And he said, there's nobody here for me either. I was like, well, we didn't know. We would have invited some gay guys if we knew a gay guy was coming.
That's not what this party was about.
Yeah, exactly. So this poor bastard, he certainly wasn't getting any. And his buddy was like, I don't know. Those girls are kind of lame. I was like, oh, come on. Look at her. I already did her in my mind.
Not that I'm into this, Ralph, but didn't it seem like it was some sort of an audition for the next Miss Double December pageant?
There's a lot of that going on.
Boobs on display.
So
well, Halloween brings that out in
it
women.
It does,
anyway.
Doesn't it?
You know, it's a lot of low-cut costumes and
gives them
like
an excuse.
That. But boy, oh boy.
Well, Lux, Miss Double December 2013, was there, Kevin. She had just flown in from China 6 hours earlier and was there and just looked great and was just wonderful to everybody.
She's some kind of crazy woman, though, because who can fly back from China and then go right to a party?
Not me.
In a costume, yeah.
She can.
She does it all the time.
She rocks it and she's in a good mood. She's having a great time. What's her secret?
Well, she's hot and she loves her life. That helps.
Okay, well, that does
you
help.
You got those two things going for you. You tend to be a little perkier than the rest of us.
And Joanna, Miss Double December 2011, she was there. She brought a friend who wants to be Miss Double December this year, and I think she's got an excellent chance of doing that.
All right. She was putting them on display.
She was amazing. I think the two best things for me all night were, one, how much Beer Mug drank. I mean, you never saw Beer Mug when he wasn't double fisting. What were you drinking, Mugs?
Oh, no.
Jack and Diets all night long.
What was your rush, though? You started like...
Three hours on the 405 to get to Long Beach in afternoon rush hour.
Right.
Getting rear-ended on the freeway while, you know, on my way.
I
want
to hear about your personal life.
Oh, hey. Yeah, but I had to get it done, Ralph. I had to get the party going.
But he was ordering as
he was ordering as
if it was 1:59 a.m. and he was trying to beat last call.
It started at 8. You were like three deep at 8 o'clock. It's a long time.
Is he a sloppy drunk? Because he strikes me as a
sloppy. He's a sloppy sober guy.
I know. That's why I'm asking. Like, you add alcohol to that, nothing good can happen.
It's very chatty. It's the last thing you do.
He talks more.
Get a quarter with Beer Mug. Have him explain something to you.
No.
You don't need that. But
some of our listeners, were you able to keep him away from them?
No. We're all mingling amongst ourselves.
And I think Muggs was also drowning his sorrows over the Dodgers a little bit, too. Yeah. I think he was sad, too. All
right, you don't want Beer Mug in Gen Pop when he's had a few cocktails.
Don't.
No, you want him in solitary.
Yeah. Yeah. That was thing one. And thing two was the international man of mystery, Doto, made an appearance at the party, and he was spectacular.
I was so excited to hear that. Did he show up dressed? Did he know what he was doing?
He had a very nice blazer on from the Don Johnson Miami Vice collection,
okay,
with the sleeves pushed up and the collar popped.
I like it.
He had a skinny knit tie from 1985 that he found, apparently. Plaid shirt. It was a very interesting ensemble, as the French say.
Did the women just circle him?
Oh, of course. You know, like sharks.
like blood in the water.
Like sharks going around the USS Indianapolis survivors. He could not. He was beat him off with a stick.
Sure.
That guy. What would he need him for?
I said, Doe, I'm so happy you're here, but I'm frankly surprised because we try so often to get you to come to things. And he said, I need some babes, Kevin and Bean.
Yeah, he sure did.
That's always been his line. Now, did he leave with some babes?
He left. I know he left at least with some phone numbers because I talked to some girls who gave Doe their number.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Hold on. For real?
Did they think he was wearing some sort of costume? Like that maybe he had a Doto mask on or something?
They said that they gave a wrong number to him, though.
No, I mean, they made it sound like they gave his real number. By the way, Doto pleasant. He was very pleasant. But
He's always pleasant.
Did he lose a credit card or something, Ralph? Did that happen?
Yes, he lost something that he kept as like a debit card or something. He kept asking Dave all night.
Oh, really? I didn't hear
Do you
about
have it?
That.
Do you have my card? Do you have my card? Do you have my card? Do you have my card?
I steer a wide berth from Doto. We're out there socially. So I probably
Ralph,
have a lot of conversation with
Ralph
him
steered night. A wide berth of being at the party as well. It was very difficult to have a conversation with Ralph. He kept moving.
Well, here's the thing.
He's a moving target.
It's a big room.
Right.
And you're there.
Right.
So there's a lot of area where you're not, I found.
Trying to cover the place.
That's right, Lisa. Thank you. That's what I was trying to do.
Trying to make sure the whole place was covered.
Represent
That's all being.
Everybody.
Had nothing to do with not wanting to be around you.
No, at all of our events, when we do these kind of things, I like to meet as many of the listeners as possible in the course of the evening because you don't get the chance very often to meet the people listening to the show. So I really enjoy having conversations with people that I haven't met yet, like the listeners, as opposed
and
to
that you like
being. So,
by the way,
I'll go off and talk to them, and chat.
I did that too, Ralph. Please admit that I was very social on Friday night.
He was remarkably social on Friday.
Was he a social butterfly?
He actually
RB?
Was. He was.
Was he?
He was very chatty, and people were coming up, and he was being pleasant to people.
What?
Posing for pictures and being accommodating.
Did you roofie yourself?
Someone came in a Bean costume. I think Bean sent someone in a Bean costume. That's right.
Let me just say one thing. I'm kind of on a serious note, and then we have to take a break, and Chris Hardwick is here. And that is that I was, and you know me, I have very little emotion, but except for outrage. I was deeply moved by the conversations that I had with a number of listeners that night who came up and talked about how important the Kevin and Bean show is to them.
Yeah, that's always odd for me.
We just think it's a dumb little dog and pony show.
It
but
is.
People were coming up and going, I don't know how I'd go through my day or get to work or get to school or whatever or survive the last year or whatever their story
was
without
that because we can't process
it's a lot
that
of pressure.
Emotionally.
It is a lot of pressure, but I mean, it was humbling, and if I can just end this conversation on a serious note, I just wanted to thank the people who came up and went out of their way to say that because I mean, it was really it was very touching.
I was
deeply moved as well by the girl in the 1940s veil hat, mm-hmm. the blonde with yes. the giant mass of cans.
Oh, yeah. I know who that is.
You know the one who's carrying the riding crop?
Yes, I do.
With the knee-high leather boots?
Yep.
She was diabolical.
So we both took something away from the evening, Ralph.
I was deeply moved in my pants.
Chris Hardwick is here, people.
Gentlemen, I'm so sorry. I was a few minutes late. It took me so long to get here from Silver Lake. I had to put a cow catcher on the front of my car to plow through the hipsters to get over to this side of town. Lisa, how do you even do traffic without just going, "We're all going to die!
I know.
Stay in your homes!"
That's basically true every day.
Every single day.
I don't know how people do it.
Chris Bean told me earlier today that you do sometimes you record your podcast in your car. Is that correct or is that not correct?
No. Well,
that would
okay.
You'd be really shortchanging your listeners.
I know what he's talking about. Okay. Sometimes I will record intros. We do like a little 3 or 4 minute intro at the beginning, like, you know, here's who sponsored this episode. Here's some Nerdist stuff to promote. Here's a little backstory about the guest.
You hear people honking and stuff?
You can hear people honking. I did an intro once in the bathroom of a train in Scotland because I had to get it done.
Okay.
And so
let me just stop you right there.
Sure.
At that point, do you think I should cut back on my schedule a little?
What are these words you're saying to me? I don't know what that means.
In the bathroom of a train.
I mean, you do several of them on airplanes, too.
I've done them on airplanes. Guys, if I'm not working, then I'm sitting alone with my thoughts. Who needs that?
But you don't have any time to sit alone with your thoughts.
No, it's great. It's great.
Chris has a lot of unresolved issues. That's what he's telling
me. What are you talking about? I don't understand.
All right. So you're back on TV.
Can't stop. Because clown will eat me.
You're back on TV because no one else is allowed to be hired for any cable shows ever. And tonight you debut on Comedy Central with a show that's going to air, if I understand correctly, you're going to be on four nights a week, Monday through Thursday at midnight, right?
That's right. Someone on Twitter congratulated me and then said, "You're like a gayer Ryan Seacrest." So there's a lot of support.
Now, who is hosting the talking at midnight show? Is that also going to be you, or did they hire somebody else to do that?
No, I got to host that too, and then I'll have myself on as a guest, and we'll sort of break down what everyone was feeling on the show. And then,
now, what is At Midnight?
At Midnight is essentially it's a daily show after Colbert. That it's
no,
kind
the
of
daily
a,
show is before Colbert.
The
Come
daily
on,
show
check
is
your
Colbert.
Schedule.
Yes, no, it is. But structurally, it's kind of a game show where we have a bunch of comedians on.
Okay,
it's kind of like a British panel show. So we'll have three comedians on. We'll pull a bunch of stuff off of social media that we found that day and put it into a game show format. It's really just a reason. It's a structured screw-around session with comics. So that's all it is.
Similar to what Jeselnik does with his panel?
No. Ours really will kind of look like Jeopardy, but with wiener jokes. So, like, Jeopardy with wiener jokes about social media. So, like, tonight, Doug Benson and Natasha Leggero and Kumail Nanjiani are on. Patton Oswalt's coming up. Kurt Brownell or Rob Delaney. So it's basically just getting comics together to screw around and sort of a... The game show format is just a way to get us together to...
And you're
going to
do this Monday through Thursday.
Yeah. Yep.
Does that seem like a good idea to you?
Yes!
Okay.
What was I doing those days before?
Are you doing it live?
No, we thought about doing it live. We talked about it for a while, and then we realized there just wasn't enough upside. And there's too much
downside?
Well, it's...
Editing makes everything better. Let's be honest.
Right? Well, we did a bunch of live shows at our Meltdown Comics space, and we couldn't justify like why it had to be absolutely live.
Okay.
So
it's same day though.
It's like 2 hours before it airs, it's live. So we're pulling everything. It's super topical, but it's just going.
You're talking about the whatever is happening that day.
Whatever's happening that day that we pulled off of social media, and then we put it on.
All right, so you and Tom Lennon and Robert Van Garant are all going to be executive producers.
And Funny or Die, yeah.
I see. How'd you get in bed with those guys?
I've known Tom and Ben for years. I mean, when I was doing...
Chris is in bed with everyone.
I'm in bed with a lot of people.
Seriously.
I'm super slutty,
you're
you guys.
Slut.
So Tom and Ben and I have known each other since they were doing The State, because we all worked at MTV at the same time back in the 1900s. And and then I'm friends with all the Funny or Die people, so it just all sort of came together that way.
The show sounds like it's going to be super fun.
I think it is. You know, I've never had so much fun going into a show, because we've been doing live shows, practicing them all summer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can never control what people are going to watch. But this is seriously the most fun that I've ever had. I mean, all the comics on the show are my friends. So
it's just like kind of a hang.
It's like a hang. It's like a structured hang.
And is the toughest thing? I mean, I assume Comedy Central they adjust their expectations for the competition, but I mean, you're going up against all of the late night shows, right? Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah, pretty much, I guess. But I mean, it's not. I don't know. There's a lot of people in this country.
That's true.
I feel like there's enough. I mean, our show is different than anything else. There's no monologue. There's not like a sit down guest. It's really just, it moves super fast. I think it's a good come down after validating your intelligence by watching the Colbert and Daily Show. And our show is like, you don't really have to think too hard. And it's sort of nice. It's a nice brain sorbet as you glide yourself into bed.
Nice brain sorbet.
Right?
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
The show premieres tonight at midnight.
What time?
Comedy Central. Strangely, at midnight,
oh,
Kevin.
At midnight.
And this is of particular interest to people listening in Southern California. You can actually be part of the audience. You can just go to cc.com at midnight, and you will give away free tickets for people who want to come down and see it in person, right, Chris?
We do. They're absolutely free. Please come to the show. Please.
All right, Chris is here. At midnight is the show. We got much more to talk about with the Nerdist himself, and we'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Last hour, our friend Travis Barker was in here announcing some Blink-182 shows coming up at the Hollywood Palladium November 6th and 7th. Listen all week to K-Rock. We'll be giving away tickets. In fact, we have tickets coming up next hour, I believe, and access to see them in the Red Bull Sound Space. How's that for great Blink-182 news? Chris Hardwick in studio with us. He is the Nerdist himself. I know you're thinking, oh, he's the guy from that BBC America Nerdist show. No, that one's gone for now. He's got a new show debuting tonight on Comedy Central that is called At Midnight, which sounds hilarious, and you're still doing the podcast. Is there ever going to come a time, Chris, where you give up the podcast and just concentrate on all the other TV and movies and video things that you're doing online?
I hope not. The podcast is one of my favorite things because a lot of times it's actually a chance to catch up with friends who are also busy, and it sort of forces us to sit down and talk for an hour. So I don't have any plans of not doing it. We've been putting out like 4 episodes a week the last couple of weeks.
Top 3 that come to your mind?
The top 3 podcasts?
Just that you enjoyed so much.
Tom Hanks was amazing. I did one with my dad that was really fun because so few people ever sit down and unselfishly ask their parents questions about their lives.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know that I would want to do that.
I didn't know
in front of people.
I didn't know I wanted to either, and it was one of the greatest things I ever did. My dad. I got to interview my mom now because it's like your parents are actually human beings.
Nope.
No, they're human beings.
I don't think that's the case.
No, one of them just accidentally didn't use protection, and there you are.
Oh, I don't want
to
think about it.
No,
that way.
They did, and they loved it.
Chris, were there things that you were able to ask your dad because you were interviewing him for reels on a podcast that you would have not been comfortable asking him just sitting in the living room?
Yes, there were, because it's sort of. I mean, again, there were the structure of having to sit down and chat with him to fill the time. And it was really great, you know? There were no awkward pauses. He was totally open about everything.
Still thinks you're a virgin, though, right?
No. My dad was the professional bowlers tour. It was like, you know.
His dad's
still a virgin.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Take it easy with the bowling.
All right, so Tom Hanks, your dad, and who's number 3 of the most memorable podcast?
Most memorable? Oh, man.
It has to be Weird Al, right?
Weird Al was great. Neil deGrasse Tyson was great. Neil Gaiman was great. Neil Patrick Harris. All the Neils.
Have you had Neil Diamond?
We've not had Neil Diamond yet.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Worst.
Worst?
Yeah.
There's no worst. I mean, there's...
Worst.
There's...
Worst.
That's not a fair...
Worst.
There's only been one.
Really
that
bad.
That I didn't feel like I did a good job, and it hasn't gone up yet.
Okay.
But we had Harrison Ford on, and Harrison is, you know, it was my fault because I was so, I'm usually pretty good at squashing the fandom down.
You're a nice guy to say that. He can be. I've never seen a good interview with him.
I was very confident going into it. Like, I got this. We've had everyone on. It's been, you know, Daniel, everyone. Daniel Radcliffe
Plus,
was just
a,
on.
This he was is awesome. A guy. As a lifelong nerd, you know everything he's ever done, and you're very confident in your knowledge of his material. You know you have a million questions that you've always wanted to ask.
There are only a couple
prepared.
Yeah, there are only a couple people in the world that I would be so nervous that I couldn't function, and
right.
He, unfortunately, I found out was one of those people. Him and Steve Martin, I don't know, I would fold with Steve Martin.
You've never had Steve Martin?
No, I'm afraid to.
You know what? He would be funny.
He might be, but he's also very serious and kind of shy, so I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just some of these guys, when you start nerding out over them, they kind of go into protection mode. Like the,
right.
You know, the shields go up like in the original Batman, where Michael Keaton just goes, shields.
Right.
So Harrison sat down, and I instantly, like when he's a foot from you,
It's just, he's indie, he's Han. Like, I just couldn't.
But he doesn't want to hear any of that, does he?
Not particularly.
what did, not that we'll ever have him on, because we're not as famous and popular as you are, Chris, but what nice. What does he want to talk about? Just woodworking? Is that it?
I don't know. I didn't figure it out. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't his fault. It was that by the podcast
Stop
is going up
saying
next
that.
Week.
When is it going up?
It goes up like a week and a half.
It's nice
Enders.
Of you to say that it's all your fault.
I blame myself for everything.
But I've never seen a good interview with him. Literally.
I'm sure they're out there.
They aren't.
Some people are more comfortable being actors than having someone sit there and go, oh, when you were in Star Wars, .. Right. So it was like, because I moderated his panel for Ender's Game, and someone got up and they go, because I'm sure he gets this all the time, if Han Solo met Indiana Jones, what would he say? And then Harrison just goes, hello? So
Chris Hardwick is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about, among other things, his new show that debuts tonight on Comedy Central that is called At Midnight. By the way, Chris, you did an interview with GQ that just went up.
I did.
A couple things that I did not know about you.
I have an insect collection?
No, I think I do that.
Okay.
First of all, big ups for your girlfriend, Sky Dart, who's one of the hottest women on the planet.
Oh, Chloe Dykstra, yeah.
I still don't understand that. Congratulations on that.
Do you understand that there are some days where I just look at her and go, so why are you dating me? Like, I yes. really do not understand.
But don't say that out loud.
Oh, I didn't. That was in my head, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
the
good.
Thing that I didn't know about you is that you are obsessed with the numerical value of pi.
Yes, this is true.
What?
Why?
I don't know. My friend Mike Furman and I wrote a song about it.
No, you didn't.
Wherein we learned, like, accidentally learned, like, 150 digits of pi. So it's...
You wrote a song about the value of pi.
Yes. Why do you seem shocked by this?
Well, look, I know that you're at Nerdist and all, but seriously.
It is a ratio of a circle circumference to its diameter. You could calculate almost any point in space with 6 digits of pi, but we happen to learn 150.
Who's lost right now?
I'm lost.
I'm lost.
I don't even know what was just said.
3.14159265335897932384626432832795028841971693993751058. Do you need to go
to
commercial?
Is that accurate?
Yes, those are all digits of pi.
He's basically singing it.
I am.
Is that from the song? Is that how you were able to remember?
I just dropped my on the table.
I am not. I'm trying to figure out if that's impressive or not. I don't think it is.
No. You can literally hear all the ovaries in Los Angeles drying up in unison.
Why are you obsessed with pi? Is it just that the number doesn't have an end, and that's why it's fascinating to you? Is because
yes,
you want to see how far it goes?
It's an irrational number. It cannot be expressed as a fraction. 22 over 7 would be the closest that you could express it.
You don't have to tell me.
how far have they mapped it out, Chris?
Well, they've mapped it out to I believe in Japan they have mapped it out to trillions of digits. And the Japanese are coming over here and taking pie calculating jobs away from hardworking Americans. No, but they've calculated to trillions. I mean, it's infinite. It's theoretically infinite. So it just
so
goes on
if
and
it's
on.
Infinite, then what's the point of going to trillions of points?
Is there no point, or is there all the point, Kevin? Sit on
Whoa.
That for a minute, and
Whoa.
Then we'll smoke a bowl with Harrison Ford.
I'm going to go with no point.
No point.
I'm sorry.
What a crazy life!
It represents life. It represents life. You know, is it futile? Is there futility in the world? Is it futile to exist? Is it futile to sit in traffic? Is it futile? It's not futile to watch At Midnight every night on Comedy Central. After
brings it back.
Colbert.
All right, excellent plug.
He does.
Listen,
that's how he does it.
Before we say
3.174949 at midnight.
Are we? Before we say goodbye, Chris,
yes,
is
sir.
It possible, because, of course, you still host the Talking Dead on
yes,
AMC After Walking Dead.
Yes, sir.
Is it possible that this season is the best season of The Walking Dead so far?
It's going to be amazing because Scott Gimple came in and everything I've heard about the upcoming episodes, which I haven't seen ahead, but every episode builds and is more insane than the previous one. And I definitely see, I think you saw that between the first episode and the second episode.
Yeah.
Right. And it just goes on and on from there.
Because I felt like the first season, most of the first season was so great and so groundbreaking and just blew our minds. The second season was good, you know what I mean? But now I feel like,
but wait,
wow.
The second season was good compared to the first season of Walking Dead, compared to most shows it's
absolutely.
Head and shoulders above.
I'm just saying, you know, just like with Homeland, just like with Mad Men, any of these shows, it's almost impossible to sustain a certain level year after year after year after year after year. But Walking Dead, man, are they in their stride right now. And last night was unbelievable. And your Talking Dead show was just great.
Oh,
last
thanks,
night. I hope everybody who's watching The Walking Dead is going ahead and recording The Talking Dead, too, because it's fun.
Thanks, man. Nick Otero's a great guest, and Doug Benson was hilarious, and Haley Williams was adorable, and it was really fun.
I got to tell you, as a guy who sometimes hosts interviews, you're amazing at that.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding. We look at that, and we go, yeah, that's what everybody should do an after show, but they should have Chris Hardwick host it.
You've done this longer than I have. You've sit and managed to keep a show structure going for a long time. I really appreciate
that. Not much structure here, but but what you do is impressive.
I really appreciate that.
I guess what we're saying is turn on your TV at any time of the day or night, and Chris Hardwick is likely going to be on it, but definitely check out his new show.
He might be talking about the value of pie, though, so you got to take that into consideration.
You definitely want to check out his new show at midnight on Comedy Central tonight at 12. And your guests again tonight, Chris?
Doug Benson, Kumail Nanjiani, and Natasha Leggero.
Super fun. Thanks for coming in, man. Good to
see
you.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Host of The Red Zone on DirecTV and from the NFL Network, Andrew Siciliano joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. By the way, Ralph, you enjoying any wings today? You have any wings over there on your end of the table?
No wings. No wings at this table. No
wings for your Eagles fan today. It's bad.
No wings.
A lot to talk about with Andrew coming up. That's on the way. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
Nick Foles was missing passes I could have completed during that game.
What's up with that?
And all he had to do was, like, complete two passes and we would have won the game. It was that much of a defensive struggle for the better part of that game.
It seemed like the week before he was strong.
He was amazing, and they say he's injured. He's got a bad groin or something, so maybe that's what was keeping him from being accurate. But he was just skipping balls into guys, and there was a guy, Jason Avant, was wide open in the end zone, just skipped the ball to him, and it was a nightmare.
And you hate losing to the Cowboys more than anyone, right?
Yes.
Cowboys or Giants?
Yes.
Cowboys, huh?
Yeah. Giants next week.
No, I mean, as far as hate to lose.
Oh, but. Cowboys by far.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. The Cowboys are,
everything about them. All right.
Oh, and they just showed Jason Garrett's little sweaty little Justin Bieber face on the screen. I just want to throw things at it. It makes me nuts. Speaking of things that make me nuts.
Yes?
I'm going to play some poker!
Yay!
I love the game, and yet it never ceases to infuriate and frustrate me. But I'm going back again. I'm going to be hosting, along with my good friend and poker-playing buddy Kevin, the K-Rock San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino 20K Poker Play.
This is our third or fourth year?
Third, I want to say?
Good fun.
It's all happening Thursday, November the 15th. Of course, they always schedule it around my birthday in order to celebrate me, which I love.
It's funny. I've never read that anywhere.
Yeah, that's why they do it. They say, let's
emails
do it.
Or
krock.com. You can go there starting at 2 p.m. today and sign up for your spot to play. Here's the deal. You could win a little something, $20,000. That's the first prize.
Whoa.
If you win the... But the tournament.
But Ralph, we don't have the buy-in.
But Kevin,
what do we do?
There is no buy-in.
Are you yelling?
I don't know. I'm trying to be emphatic. It says you're being emphatic. No, there's no buy-in. You just have to sign up. You play for free, and the winner, first place out of the tournament, gets 20 grand. It used to be 10 grand. Now they upped it this year. They doubled it. It's nuts.
That's crazy.
All right, now, and we'll get right back.
No, that's not how it works. Second prize is a ski Lake Tahoe vacation with lodging at Squaw Valley. That's second prize.
All right.
Wow.
Anyway, for more details, you can go to sanmanuel.com or go to krock.com. Kevin and I are going to be playing at separate tables. They're afraid to put me next to Kevin because
please.
I will tell everyone when he's bluffing.
Does Kevin have a tell?
Kevin doesn't like
that. No, yeah, Ralph does that.
He goes, I'm going to bluff. He usually says that out loud, which is a
Ralph tell. Calls me on bluffing every time, so I can't.
Yeah, right. Oh, he's bluffing. He's bluffing. Raise him. So you can never bluff.
Does Kevin at any point say a pair of jacks is stupid and absurd?
Of course. Anyway, we're going to be there, and we are going to be playing along with you. And if you'd like to reserve a seat at Kevin's table or my table, call right now, 1-800-520-1067.
You don't want my table, people.
Get through at that number. Tell Chip, say, I want to play at Kevin's table. And then they'll say, okay. Or you can say, I want to play at Ralph's table. And say, I'm sorry, someone already took that. You'll have to play at Kevin's table. So,
and then they'll hang up.
Do that now, 1-800-520-1067, and you will get a pair to participate. pair of tickets to participate in the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino 20K Poker Play. And if you don't get through here, just go to krock.com and start signing up as of 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, 2 o'clock, start signing up, krock.com. Today's... It's almost time for today's
celebrity
birthdays. But let's go through the top 10 movies at the box office. Gravity, $31 million, made it number one again this week, third week in a row. Captain Phillips, Carrie, in its debut, made $17 million. That was number three. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, two. And Escape Plan with the top five. Prisoners, Enough Said, The Fifth Estate, Runner, Runner, and Insidious Chapter 2 were the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Now, let's get to the birthdays. Kim Kardashian, porn star Kim Kardashian is 33 years old today. Nick Oliveri, Queens of the Stone Age, is 42. Ken Watanabe, very talented actor, is 54. Carrie Fisher turns 57. And Judge Judy Scheindlin.
So you get Zippo, nada.
She gets $45 million a year is what she gets.
That's crazy.
71 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. There's some late-breaking news on CeeLo Green, a case that involves drugs and potential sexual assault. So Harvey will fill us in on what that's all about. First, though, let's go to the phone. Andrew Siciliano, the host of Around the League Live on the NFL Network and, of course, DirecTV's Red Zone each Sunday, joins us on Monday mornings. Hey, Andrew, how was your weekend, buddy?
My weekend was just fantastic, guys. How was yours?
Wow. Listen to the happiness in Andrew's voice.
Wait, did the Bears, did the Browns win?
No, they did not. My weekend was a weekend. It was a good weekend. It was not a spectacular weekend. And it was sunny. It was beautiful on Saturday, right? And I was in the studio all day yesterday. And today it looks like, classic pea soup and bad traffic on the way to work. It's great.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. We've got a couple things we want to talk about, and I suspect we'll spend most of the time talking about the crazy ending for that Patriots-Jets games. Now, there were a lot of people who were outraged about it. Why don't you bring folks up to speed who maybe didn't catch that the overtime shenanigans?
All right. So there really are no shenanigans, even though Patriots fans do think that there is a vast worldwide conspiracy to somehow screw them over.
No, it's just worldwide hate. That's all.
Right. The Jets were lining up for the game-winning field goal. It was a long one in overtime, 56 yards, and it missed. However, there was a flag, and the Patriots were called for a brand-new rule. It's obscure, and it's the first time it's ever been called this year. Again, it's only on the books this year.
Oh, so they just added the rule this year?
They added it this year.
Okay.
And the rule is that the defensive team on a field goal can't have one lineman shove another lineman into the offensive line. It's a safety issue. It's a tactic that's been done for years. And you got offensive linemen blowing out legs and blowing out knees and breaking legs. So it's a brand new rule. However, it had never been called until yesterday. And there was a question as to whether or not, and I'm going to get overly technical here, that the guy pushing has to do it from the second level. In other words, be behind the line. The Patriots said that that's what the rule... There's some debate as to how the rule was written. However, the call was made properly. It is the right call. It was not a conspiracy against the Patriots.
So it was a penalty.
It was
a penalty, but it was the very first time it's ever been called.
Now, the Patriots claim that, they have one version of the rule that says it's going to be officiated differently. They're absolutely incorrect. The hard copy of the rule book is clear, and the penalty was called exactly the way it should have been called. There is some confusion as to whether or not when officials come into training camp during the season that they may, or the regulars, the preseason, they may have explained it incorrectly.
Right.
But if you look at how it's written on paper, it was officiated correctly.
But Andrew, I'm not disagreeing with anything you say. And all of the experts, Pereira and everybody, says the same thing you said. It was the right call. But it's just like in any other sport, in hockey and basketball, you can call something on every play. Most of the time you don't. I think people are just suspicious of the timing of calling in an overtime game in the situation where a guy has just missed a field goal.
Well, let me say this. There are some people that think that the Patriots, and I haven't looked at the tape yet, that the Patriots actually used the same ploy last week against the Saints and got away with it. And the Jets saw it on tape and told the officials, keep an eye out.
To watch for it. No kidding.
How
so
about
then,
that?
So yeah. Then what? They move 5 yards closer and kick the field goal and win?
They give another shot. It's actually 15 yards
15
closer.
Yards. Wow.
Yep. And they made it, and they won. And by the way, the whole idea of telling officials, hey, watch out for this, every team does that every week. Matter of fact, it's encouraged. The officials go to the coaches before the game and say, hey, anything you want us to watch for, or if you have a trick play up your sleeve, like maybe you're going to try something where on a field goal you're running a guy off to the sideline, but he stops on the sideline
right.
And you throw him the ball, hey, let us know so we'll keep an eye out for it so you know we won't throw the flag even though you're within the rules.
Interesting. Interesting stuff. Andrew Siciliano on the phone with us right now. Of course, he's the host of Around the League Live on the NFL Network weekday afternoons. Let me ask you about one more thing because we talked about it a lot last week when you stopped by, and that was the return of Peyton Manning to Indianapolis, a very heartwarming, emotional ceremony. He was very well received by the fans, and it was the best possible day for those fans in Indy because they ended up beating the guy. What were your thoughts on the game?
What a game. I mean, first of all, to see those fans react the way they did and see Peyton actually show some emotion, which is rare before the game, was awesome. But then there was a little bit of a passing of the torch here. Not that the Broncos aren't any way out of it. They're still 6-1, and they're still a juggernaut who we'll likely see at the very end of the season. But the fact that Andrew Luck played as well as he did, and the Colts looked as good as they did, and that Robert Mathis sacked Peyton Manning, and I mean, that was an amazing game. And then the fact that, you know, the injuries, guys, are the story out of this as well. Reggie Wayne, we just found out about 10 minutes ago, blew his knee out. He is done for the season.
Oh.
And the look on Andrew Luck's face, I don't know if you saw it at the end of the game, because he threw a ball behind Reggie Wayne, and he kind of had to stop short to get it, and his knee, you know, his leg got caught, and boom, his knee is gone. He was just so disgusted at himself afterwards in post-game interviews. He hardly wanted to talk about beating anyone, Peyton Manning or otherwise. It's just he's so mad at himself for throwing that ball slightly behind the guy, and now the guy is
Are there more injuries this year in general? Because it just seems like that's a bigger storyline than last year or the year before.
It is a sport of attrition. I don't say war. I say sport. It's a sport of attrition, and today will probably be the most injury-filled day in terms of news that you will see. I hope it is all year. Brian Cushing from SC in Houston is out for the season. Doug Martin in Tampa is out for the season. Reggie Wayne is out for the season. Sam Bradford in St. Louis is out for the season.
We don't know about Cutler yet.
I don't think Cutler's out for the season, but it won't be good.
Right.
He's going to be out for a little bit or a lot bit, but I don't think he's out for the season. There are others I'm forgetting. What's his name? Leon Hall in Cincinnati out for the season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, one more thing, because you talked about how Peyton showed that emotion coming home to Indy. How about if after the game, instead of running off the field after he shakes Luck's hand, he goes up and down the whole line and says hi and bye to all of his friends on the Colts, too? That was pretty cool.
You know what was so cool about that is they were coming to him, and he didn't just run away, but it wasn't necessarily all his teammates. If you watched him walk all the way to the tunnel, after he said hi to all his teammates, it's the ticket taker, it's the security guard, it's the massage therapist, it's the trainer, it's the guy that holds the yard markers. I mean, everybody. When you're there for 14 years and you are the first guy in the building every day, and the last guy out of the building every night, you get to know a lot of people.
Wow. Yeah.
And he knew everyone by name, and you saw it was a receiving line. It was awesome. Yeah.
Well, he's a class act for sure. All right, we're out of time. Of course, tonight the Monday night game is Minnesota versus New York, which I guess they hoped when they made the schedule was going to be a game we were all interested in seeing. That doesn't mean it might not be a good game on ESPN, but look for Andrew Siciliano this afternoon at 3 on the NFL Network for his Around the League Live. Always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for the time.
Yeah, love you guys.
Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. I like beats.
It's like Travis Barker never left today.
It's 9:37.
Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I beat you, let me give you something. Sounds like my love life. it's fall.
It is fall.
Did you notice this morning the air was especially crisp?
Just felt... No?
Cool, and condensation on your car when you went out this morning to get into it. And just
no, none of that.
Fall's here.
Fall is here, yes.
You know what that means?
Sunny and 70?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, skiing.
Skiing, right.
Yay!
To celebrate the return of ski season, I am giving away right now a pair of anytime season passes to Mountain High.
All right.
You can go anytime during the entire season.
Wow.
Southern California's closest winter resort, Mountain High, is the best place to go if you're going to go skiing. So why not? Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers you get through will get a pair of anytime season passes to Mountain High.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, call right now and we will give you anytime season passes to Mountain High. You can go to mthigh.com to get your pass today.
It's also Doug Benson's website.
Zing!
See, because he smokes a lot of pot.
Quantities are limited for the anytime season passes, so if you don't win, go online and order them today. Offer ends October the 31st, so you want to check it out. Mountain High is great, too, because I went one year to Mountain Low.
Not the place to go?
No. Yeah. It was like it was in the desert.
Yeah.
There was no snow there.
Right.
You're skiing in sand, which is not good for your skis. You got to just wax, wax, wax. So
it's too much work.
Yeah. Went to Mountain Medium once.
Really?
Just okay.
You're hanging on to this, aren't you?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Gravity. Number one again. 3 weeks in a row. $31 million is what it made. I went to see Gravity and my wife said, what do you think? I said it was great. I really enjoyed it. She goes, would I like it? I went, nope.
Why?
Because, Not a big fan of
claustrophobic situations?
No, not claustrophobia, but just that prolonged tension.
Yeah, that it was.
Makes Mrs. Garman a little uncomfortable. So that movie is about 90 minutes of prolonged tension.
Yeah.
So it's not for everybody. I loved it, though. Captain Phillips, number two at the box office, made $17.3 million. Carrie, in its debut, came right behind that with $17 million, made it number three. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, two. And then Escape Plan, rounding out the top five. That's the new Stallone Schwarzenegger film. Only made $9.8 million at the box office.
I gotta get out of this prison. I can help you get out of the prison. What do you mean, get out of the prison? I get out of that.
That's your impression of the whole movie?
Not for me. Prisoners 6, Enough Said 7. If you haven't seen Enough Said, by the way, James Gandolfini's final film with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It's really charming, entertaining, adult romantic comedy. If that's something you're looking for, I recommend it. The Fifth Estate was 8th. Runner Runner and Insidious Chapter 2, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World, of course. She got married this weekend. They're going to go honeymooning in Maui before she comes back to start filming Girl Meets World. Boom! It's back. Better than ever. Now they got married and they have a little baby girl and she's going to see the world. She's going to meet the world. I don't think you understand the concept. But not always a happy ending for show business and marriages. Tom Welling, Smallville star, Superman. He and his wife, Jamie, are splitting. Yeah, she filed the papers, citing irreconcilable differences. They've been separated since last December. They have no children together, so it's...
Well, that's good.
That's always good news.
Good news for you, though, Ralph. You've been kind of waiting for Welling to be single.
Oh, boy, is he dreamy. He is a dreamy fella. He should have been Superman. I mean, Henry Cavill's fine, but, boy, that Tom Welling. Whew. Can he fill out a suit, huh? Yes, I'm gay. You with me? You with me? Is this thing
yeah!
on? Why have a man admiring another man, why does it why are there already dispersions having to be cast regarding my sexuality?
You're the only one that brought up gay.
I'm saying...
You said, yes, I'm gay. That's what you said.
You played a tape of me saying that, but that...
I have no idea what you're talking
about,
playing a tape.
I'm sure you don't. Why don't you call now and we'll get right back to you. I'm just...
Yes, I'm gay.
I just don't... I can talk at the same time. I can use two voices
yes,
at the
I'm
same
gay.
Time. It's amazing. What a gift I have. Sad news. Speaking of Superman, one of the pioneers of Saturday morning cartoons, Lou Scheimer, has passed away at the age of 84.
Oh, Lou.
His company was Filmation. If you ever watched cartoons on a Saturday morning, you probably saw a Filmation cartoon. Archie, that was all Filmation. Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Superman, he did the New Adventures of Batman. Tarzan, the Star Trek cartoon was him. Gilligan's Island cartoon. He-Man.
That is a fantastic quality audio clip.
Prince Adam.
That's like we were hearing it in real life.
Greystone Castle. Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids.
Hey, it's Fat Albert.
I'm going to sing a song for you. Bill's going to tell you a thing or two.
Come on, the Cosby Kids.
Your memory is a miracle.
They should call you Broken Shutter.
Why is that?
Because you swinging in the breeze.
With Albert playing baseball, he kept striking out.
Striking out?
Yeah.
And that was a popular show, was it?
They should call you Summertime.
Why is that?
Because there's no class.
You need to take your one-man Fat Albert show on the road, Ralph.
I think I won't.
Where you just recreate episodes on stage doing all the voices and sound effects.
Hey, Albert. What have you been doing?
I forgot about that guy.
Yeah, sure, see?
I like that guy.
I love that guy, too. Mushmouth. They call him Mushmouth.
No wonder I like him.
Hey, but Albert, when be we going? I don't know.
So the guy who died, Ralph, forgive me for going back to the story, but the guy who died, he's the one who did the animation for those shows, or what was his participation? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep the thread alive here.
Lou Scheimer, it was his company. Filmation was, he owned it, he was the owner-producer of Filmation Animation. He was the man who made Saturday morning cartoons a profitable enterprise. He and his staff of like two guys who had put together these cartoons on an extremely low budget by reusing background art and keeping the animation very simple. And he did it more with performances by the actors and less of the animation. It was more sort of like
so it was crap work.
Disney and Hanna-Barbera, they were using more cells per scene, and these guys were keeping it simple.
They're keeping it low pro.
Now, they kept it available and affordable, and that's why networks kept hiring them and bringing these wonderful shows we all loved to tell them.
How can you love it? It's crap.
It was not crap.
Can we talk to the cast of Fat Albert tomorrow and find out how they're dealing with the loss?
I feel pretty bad.
I would enjoy that.
I'm a Ruby Sab. The Lubashiber is a Deb.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Lisa's just shaking her head. She really has no idea what we're talking about.
I could care less.
Come on.
She is Sandra Bullock.
Out there alone.
Out there alone.
Yes,
living by herself.
Little suit. Yep. Just. By the way, how's great so Sandy true. Bullock's body look when she got out of that spacesuit, by the way?
It's pretty strong.
Pretty good. I looked her in those little space shorts she was wearing.
49 years old, by the way, you guys.
Ridiculous. The people I went with were saying that it was some kind of video magic. That there's no possible way she looks that way. And I was like, what are you talking about? Why not?
She really does. I'm told that's all her.
It's her.
Yeah.
Why would they make that up?
How do I know? It's the people I run with, Ralph.
They're shallow, horrible people. Who your friends are.
Nothing is possible.
Look at her.
Everything's absurd.
Fake. She's fake body. She's fat. I hate her. No wonder you're like you are. All your friends are like that. Stupid, absurd, fat, ugly. He's from with a horrible group.
They're the best.
First They're the of worst, all. And you're their king. King of the worst. Where was I?
I don't know.
I don't know. People had birthdays and stuff. Blah, right. blah, blah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, objects that terrify you. This is a bizarre topic. But
objects. That
objects
terrify
that terrify you. Yes. Like, for example, Dave the King of Mexico has a friend who's terrified of sloths.
Because they
Why?
Can
I don't
get
know.
You.
It's not an object. It's an animal. I'm trying to narrow in on what the subject matter is here. See, I thought it was like inanimate objects you were talking
it's
about.
It's that, too.
Oh, it is.
It can be any. It's anything that scares
well,
you that doesn't
I'm
scare
confused.
Everyone else.
A sloth is practically an inanimate
right.
object.
Thank you, Lisa.
So just stuff that scares you? Anything that
things,
scares you?
Things that
you.
scare
that
you that
shouldn't.
Don't scare anyone else.
All right, Ralph, I think you'll be excited to know this. Beer Mug has a friend who is terrified of cereal.
Okay.
And he says it's not like a made-up deal. This is the real deal. Like, Beer Mug talks about him like he's about to die.
Unique phobias.
Yes.
On tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show.
Yes.
All right.
We're also going to talk to Doto, the International Man of Mystery.
I'm afraid of Doto!
Which I can't wait for. A lot of people were very disappointed to meet Doto in person that his effed up eye got fixed, by the way. I think that was his calling card.
That was our fault.
Yeah.
We did that.
That's on us. That's our bad.
He looks like a regular person now.
Let's eff it up again.
That's our bad. We have to talk him into it.
We're going back in. Let's prep him.
Zombies are hurting America, according to Fox News.
Well, that's true. Look what they did to those poor people in Atlanta there. The ones that are just roaming around with those guns and bows and arrows and things.
And we're also going to give away some more tickets to Kamikaze. And okay. Ralph will write questions that are actually gettable.
Stop it! Those were perfectly
tomorrow
legitimate
morning.
Superhero questions. I'm going to get them a little tougher tomorrow.
Today,
I they were a little
tougher.
Easy. They were a little easy
You
today,
barely so. Gave away the tickets today.
A little bit easy.
And we have live music. We have an in-studio visit from AFI.
Yay!
They will join us and perform live tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.